the home of Phillies playoff baseball. 97.5 The Fanatic. WPEN FM. Burlington, Philadelphia. Also heard on 950 ESPN. WPEN Philadelphia.
And basketball fans, if you're looking for a cheesesteak in University City, there's no better place than Abner Cheesesteaks, the neighborhood tradition. Located at 38th and Chestnut Street, Abner provides a full menu of sandwiches and also is available to cater your next event. And remember, when the Quakers score 100 points in a home win, use your ticket stub from the game to redeem a free cheesesteak. For more information, visit their website at www.abnercheesesteaks.com. Abner Cheesesteaks, the proud sponsor of Penn Basketball.
Hey, buddy, what's up?
What's up, bro?
Hey, what's up, dude?
Now you can call who you want, when you want, for a whole lot less with a new incredibly low price of $69.99. AT&T introduces unlimited calling nationwide for only $69.99. It's great for keeping in touch with your friends.
Hola.
Ahoy.
Your family.
Hi, Mom. Dad.
Hello, Mother.
Even the people you work with.
Finding payroll.
Accounting.
Mailroom.
Processing.
Money, Doc.
Switch to AT&T and get unlimited calling nationwide for only $69.99.
Come in now and get the new and exclusive Motorola backflip with Moto Blur for just $99.99 after mail-in rebate, only on AT&T.
Unlimited nationwide calling to over 81 million AT&T wireless customers. Pay $199.99 and receive $100 in AT&T promotion cards to your wireless service agreement with voice plan and minimum $30 monthly data plan required. Certain geographic, other monthly charges and restrictions apply. See store for details.
Coke Zero tastes like Coke. What good is telling you that on the radio? If you're in your car and you hear me say it, you have to take my word for it. And that makes you one of those guys who believes everything he hears on the radio. Or you cannot believe me, but that makes you a cynic. So you're either the guy who believes everything on the radio, or a super suspicious guy who doesn't believe anything. But there is a third option. You can try one. Then you can taste and see if what you heard on the radio is true. Unless you want to be one of those other guys. Coca-Cola Zero. Real Coke taste, zero calories.
For more than 60 years, Independence Blue Cross has offered quality healthcare products and services designed specifically to meet the changing healthcare needs of its customers. In the Philadelphia area alone, IBC provides health insurance coverage to more than 2.8 million people. For more information on Independence Blue Cross, go online to IBX.com.
The 2009-2010 season has reached its final destination. Princeton, then paired with its reviled rival from the Ivy League for the 222nd time, at stake for the Quakers an opportunity to punctuate their campaign with a positive and finish in fourth place in the Ancient Eight. With that, from Jadwin Gymnasium, capacity 6,854 on the campus of Princeton University in Princeton, New Jersey, this is Penn Basketball. Good evening, I'm Brian Seltzer, soon to be joined by former Penn Quaker and Big Five Hall of Famer, Stan Pavlik. This 2009-2010 slate, which got started way back on Friday, November 13th, has had so many different twists and turns and 0-10 starts. The head coach relieved of his duties back on Monday, December the 14th. One of the program's all-time pillars and greats assuming the helm. And since then, the Red and Blue have recorded a record of 6-14. Penn and Princeton, there will be charged energies this evening in New Jersey as the Quakers are eager to wrap up 2009-2010 on the right note. The Quakers, this is their 28th game. They are 6-21 overall, 5-8 in conference competition. The Princeton Tigers, also their 28th tilt, at 19-8 overall, 10-3 in the Ivy League. They have seized at least a share of second place with Harvard, with a victory tonight over the Quakers, second place outright, all alone to the orange and black. Time now to take a look at the NovaCare Rehabilitation Injury Report, brought to you by NovaCare Rehabilitation. When you're injured, think NovaCare. Recovery starts there. Shelved this evening for the Quakers in their final outing of this season, Tyler Bernardini with a stress fracture in his right foot. Larry Lockery is on crutches with a hip problem. Connor Turley, both of his hands in casts because of a pair of broken pinkies. And Andreas Schreiber is out of his swing He is dealing with shoulder pain. That quartet of Quakers, though, have made the trip to Jadwin Gym. As I bring in my partner, Stan Pavlik. Stan, this is a great chance for Penn to conclude this campaign the right way. A victory over your arch ancient adversary is always something to build upon and would also be the second straight win for Penn after they defeated Dartmouth 78-68 on Saturday night at the Palestra. And doing so, and who knows, this could perhaps be the final outing for the interim John R. Rockwell, head coach of men's basketball, Penn, Jerome Allen. Certainly there have been some rumors and some reports, but Jerome, he is coaching this contest with a backdrop of uncertainty.
There's a lot at stake, Ryan, as we really know. Penn certainly has shown improvement in the last few ball games. Their last win was a good win against Dartmouth. I think they just played better as a team, and I'm sure Jerome Allen wants to be the head coach of the University of Pennsylvania, and I don't think it's this win one way or another that's going to make a difference in whether he is chosen or not. I think that he's done a lot of what has been asked of him in a sense that he has a little bit been able to make Penn the Penn program. He's brought identity back to the fact that it's the University of Pennsylvania. I think a few more alumni are coming back in the door, and they're here tonight. And as you said, this is a big game. It's a very big game for Penn. And Princeton, you know, they may have an outside chance of an NIT with 20 wins, so you know they want this victory very well, too.
The director of athletics at Penn, Steve Bilski, a former member of the program, will join us on the Holiday Inn intermission report and 20 minutes game time once this tilt gets underway, so that should be an interesting conversation just to see where this whole process is at and to get Steve's thoughts on the 2009-2010 season, which concludes for the Quakers tonight. This is the final regular season NCAA Division I duel out of conference championship tournaments. They have either some of them concluded and other ones just getting underway. And now, Stan Pavlik, this pulls on the heartstrings because it is the final time in 2009-2010 that I will ask you to zero in on your keys to the contest presented by, of course, our friends at Coke Zero. We'll Coke taste zero calories, bringing you, Stan Pavlik, zeroing in on the keys to the game.
So you're not hoping for that at-large bid, right? You don't think that's going to happen.
You always hold out hope.
This is it, Brian. It's been a lot of fun working with you. And I think there are some big keys to this ball game. And the number one is they should find this past weekend shooting touch. Four guys were in double figures. There was help for Jack Eggleston and help for Zach Rosen, for Mike Hallett and Danny Munkett, and I think a little bit more of that would be great. Secondly, they're going to have to keep their turnovers manageable. They did that against Dartmouth, and it related to some inside baskets. I think their turnover number was 10 as opposed to 21 the night prior to that, and I think they have to keep it in that number of 10 in order to be in this game. I think last but not least, you always know when you play Princeton that you're going to have to play against a deliberate offense. You have to concentrate on what you're doing. You have to prevent the backdoor and at the same time defend the three. So that's difficult. They're going to go inside. Princeton had success against Penn in the last outing by going inside. They also have to defend that. So there are three keys expanded upon a little bit.
Those are the Coke Zero keys to the contest brought to you by not just Stan Pavlik, but also Coke Zero, real Coke taste, and zero calories. Time now for tonight's starting five for both sides. Beginning first with Sidney Johnson, Princeton Tigers at 19-8 overall, 10-3 in the ancient eight, 9-3 at Jadwin Gymnasium, 2009-2010. Sidney Johnson in his third season on his alma mater's sideline. He is a former Ivy League Player of the Year in 1997 and the only three-time captain in Princeton program history. So here are the starters for the Orange and Black. At the point, Marcus Schroeder, 6'3", 180 pounds, a senior from Concord, California. Also in the backcourt for the Orange and Black, Dan Moraitis, 6'3", 205 pounds, a junior from San Mateo, California. In the front court, Nick Blake, 6'5", 195 pounds, Rancho Santa Fe, California. He calls home. And also up front, Jack Finley, another senior, 6'9", 230 pounds. He is a center from Rapid City, South Dakota. And rounding out Sidney Johnson starting five, Pavel Buchek on senior night at Princeton. He is a member of the Tiger class of 2010. For the Quakers, Zach Rosen at the point. The two guards are Danny Munson and Rob Belfour. Down low for the Red and Blue, Jack Eggleston and Mike Howard. 10 on the far side of the floor on the bench. On the right half of the court from our vantage point, Princeton on the left sideline, far side from us. Princeton, their home whites. Red and Blue, their road blues. Jack Eggleston, right side of the Tiger. And there is Zach Finley left. Here is Paul Thayer, the toss and the tip. It is taken by the orange and black and operating the Princeton offense from left to right in the front court, Marcus Schroeder.
Them starting in their traditional man-to-man. Let's hope Jack Eggleston gives us that career game again.
The Princeton Tigers took down the Harvard Crimson on Saturday night, 54-51. A three-point try way wide and left by Schroeder atop the arc. Rebound, red and blue in transition from right to left.
Hey, Jack's got the ball at the point. To try to get him free or some sort of pick will be set.
Rosen, the 8-8 leading point producer in the lane, pass picked off by Princeton. They are second in the conference in steals per game. Buchek far left thought three, all 6-10 of them. He opted not and hands off to Schroeder.
It's a little sluggish out there, Brian. They're starting out, both teams a little slow.
Finley reversing right to left for the Deuce, beating Hallett down low, and Princeton takes a 2-0 lead, 55 seconds in.
A little too easy on the baseline. He got it on the post, went baseline, made a little left-handed layup on the other side of the basket. Too easy.
Eggleston hits the left-handed hook shot on the near left baseline to level it at 2 apiece. Jack Eggleston stands as you alluded to earlier on, a personal best 25-point performance on Saturday in the defeat of Dartmouth, 78-68.
He can handle the low post. It's important to get him the ball and for him to have confidence down there. He can have great success down in that block.
15 on the shot clock for the Princeton Tigers. Left sideline, Buchek draws a quick double team, creeping into the key, underhand to McGrady's under the arc, far left with six to shoot, an air ball through the hands of Finley, over the shoulder, gets fouled as the shot clock was winding down. However, a whistle on the play. They take that back. It appeared that Paul Fea had signaled a crime on the court, but in fact it was that Buchek had stepped over the end line beneath the bucket and out of bounds. Tied up at 2, a minute 45 gone by at an empty Jadwin gym at best, half full.
Not many cheerleaders here, not many members of the band here. There aren't many people here.
It is spring break at Old Nassau. Hallett, right block, barging it is stuffed by Finley, who swatted the shot out of bounds, stopping the shot clock at 18 seconds. And the interim, John R. Rockwell, head coach of men's basketball at Penn, Jerome Allen, takes an early timeout. Jadwin Jim, if you have not had the true privilege of being in this facility before, at 6,854 capacity, it is a multi-purpose venue that has a doming arch that on the inside would kind of resemble something like the Death Star out of Star Wars. And on the side that we have our backs to, there are orange and black seats that stretch all the way up to the top of the building, and there are wooden bleachers on the lower bowl. There are wooden bleachers behind either baseline, and then on the far side, there are about approximately 20 rows of wooden bleachers, and then just a hollow backdrop where there is an indoor track. Belcourt inbounds along the far sideline. It's deflected out of bounds by Buchek. His back was to the ball, so shot clock at 18-4-10, 17:57 to go in the opening half. It's even at 2 apiece.
And Penn's already got one turnover, and that one was close to a second. They have to be careful with their passing. That pass didn't have to be thrown.
Belcourt inbounds to Rosen atop the arc. Zach making his way to the foul line where he feeds Hallett. at the right high post. 10 seconds to shoot for the Quakers from right to left. Eggleston free, top of the arc, does not drill from deep. Tap out Belcourt to Eggleston and a fresh 35.
Nice effort by Belcourt to keep that ball alive, give Penn a second offensive opportunity. The more of those, the more you have a chance to be victorious.
Danny Munson, the fifth start of his career. Eggleston left block, talent in the lane, cutting through the key, and he inadvertently stepped over the end line out of bounds, and the red and blue give the ball back to the orange and black.
Mike Allen was in a position to go strong, try to get fouled, and he extended his foot past the out-of-bounds line and turned over two.
Penn fell to Princeton. Back in the first meeting, there's a deflected pass. Hallett dives on the hardwood to try and retrieve. It's in the backcourt, and then Zach Rosen wraps up Nick Lake, and that will be the first team foul of this tilt. And, of course, the first against Zach Rosen.
Yeah, Zach made an attempt to steal that ball and got a lot of arm in his attempt. And now the normal Princeton starters are coming back into this ballgame in exchange for the seniors that got the traditional start on senior night.
Patrick Saunders is in, as well as Doug Davis, a Philadelphia native that's attending Princeton. That is somewhat sacrilege, but the Quakers had a decision. Zach Rosen and Doug Davis, and hard to argue with the ultimate end result there, but Davis is a terrific player, and stepping over the end line out of bounds as he tightrope the baseline, far left near right, was Marcus Schroeder for the Princeton Tigers. That makes it two early turnovers for the orange and black. They average just 13 a game, and that is second best in the Ivy League.
Now this game's having trouble getting some momentum or intensity. It seems to be a little lethargic at this point.
Still tied at 2:16:40 until the break. Rose in the near left corner. Top of the arc, Monkton, as far right of the wing. Belcourt in the corner, right in front of the Tiger bench. Pass deflected. He gets it back. Goes to Eggleston, far right corner. Shot clock down to 10. The orange and black boast the best scoring defense in the nation. Rosen Jay on the far right baseline. No good. And rebound recorded by Schroeder and the Tigers. Davis, top of the arc. He throws in a three. Douglas Davis, the 63rd three-pointer on the season. And it's 5-2 Tigers. 3 minutes and 55 expired in the first.
He didn't waste any time at all. He got off the bench and knocked down a three from the center of the court.
Far right corner Hallett, a high pass deflected, and it ultimately ends up in the hands of Schroeder. Mavridis, far left wing, does not lock in for three. Offensive rebound. Saunders, free on the floor, deflecting over the near right sideline. Brandon Cruz, one of the three officials, along with Danny Epley and Paul Fayez, says last touch by Zach Rosen of the Penn Quakers. So Princeton will have a fresh 35 following this play. 15:45 to go in the first. Time out on the floor. The score, Princeton 5, Quakes 2 from Elgin Sports. Penn men's basketball on 950 ESPN, the Penn Sports Center.
Cecilia, what do you love about Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love the taco salad.
It's fast, fresh.
Burritos, quesadillas, tacos.
Five sauces.
Oh, yeah.
I got to the point that if I had to eat something one more time that wasn't good for me, just because I was in a hurry, I was going to go crazy. And I found Qdoba, and I'm up.
Yeah, you can have it for a month straight and get something different every day.
Everybody can make what they want, and that's a good burrito.
That's what I love.
That's what I love about Qdoba. Qdoba Mexican Grill. Hundreds of original flavors you won't find anywhere else. Only fast, fresh, and right in front of you. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
For more than 60 years, Independence Blue Cross has offered quality health care products and services designed specifically to meet the changing health care needs of its customers. In the Philadelphia area alone, IBC provides health insurance coverage to more than 2.8 million people. For more information on Independence Blue Cross, go online to IBX.com.
Blogging start at Princeton, where the Penn Quakers and Tigers are tussling for the 222nd time in the history of this very proud rivalry, as the Princeton Tigers have an early lead of 5-2 to 7 aggregate points. 5 minutes and 15 seconds in, alongside former Penn Quaker and Big Five Hall of Famer Stan Pavlik. I'm Brian Seltzer. Betsy Deming is back at the board at the Penn Sports Network Broadcast Center. As this one stands, either squad searching for a spark. Princeton has the ball from left to right front court with the Radies, Saunders, Finley, Schroeder, and Davis on the court. Davis controls far left.
where Davis came right off the bench and tried to get Princeton some momentum. And this is their second possession that he's been playing. And Penn, Jack Eggleston commits a foul in the post on Patrick Saunders.
Second team foul against the Quakers, who have Rosen, Monkton, Hallett, Eggleston, and now Darren Smith, who has just checked in. Along the far left end line, a lob, Schroeder to Finley in the far corner. They swing it around to the near right wing to Saunders. Shot clock at 29. Princeton, their offense designed to deliberately wind down the shot clock. But Davis fires with 10 seconds in, and he throws another three at the top of the arc. The shot presents itself on the perimeter. They are instructed to shoot small.
They take a lot of threes and a lot of hook shots. And right now he's feeling it because when he comes off the bench shooting that way, you know what I mean? He's feeling the clutch.
8-2, Tigers by a solid 6. And on the court, foul fly against the Princeton Tigers, and that is their first team foul, and the first for Dan McGrady.
I'd like to see Penn press or something to get their momentum in jive. They're not moving the ball on offense. They just seem to step behind right now.
Smith at the near left point, top of the arc, Rosen. Monkton to the foul line. Spinning into the lane, the right-handed leaner, way wide to the right. Offensive rebound through the hands of Mike Hallett, and the ball remains with the red and blue in the front court. The Quakers fell to Princeton back on Tuesday, the 16th of February, by a final score of 58-51. Kareem Maddox coming in. Kareem Maddox relieving Marcus Schroeder. He is tall at 6'8", and he has been on fire as of late. Off the inbounds, Munson goes to the bank and cashes in 4-2. Quakers trailing by 4 points, 8-4, with 5.5 minutes expired in the first.
Kareem Maddox has pressed me a whole lot down at the Palestra. He's tall, he's quick, and he can defend. He gives Zach a very hard time.
Doug Davis, near right point, stock clock at 20 for the Tigers. Saunders, near right, records a long jumper that goes for three. That is the third three thrown in by the Princeton Tigers. Their advantage stretching to 7, their biggest of the night, at 11-4.
And as we predicted, Kareem Maddox comes right out to guard Zach. He's very long. It'll make it hard for Zach to get open.
And there's a near interception by Maddox that deflects to Rosen. Shot clock at 14 for Penn. Rosen, far right wing. Kick out Eggleston. Sinks three steps to the foul line, and he's too strong. Rebound high arcing into the hands of Dan Mavridis. But Sam, the Quakers must secure what has been a porous defense so far on the perimeter.
Yeah, they're not guarding against the three.
Maddox on the right block is forced into a travel by the Quakers defense.
He might have got away with one there. I don't know if he walked. That was a very quick call. I don't know what we can run here to get some interest in the offense or something. It just doesn't seem to be flowing the way you expect offense to flow. The best move was the one made Monk, and he missed the shot, but he made at least a strong move to the basket.
Justin Riley relieving Mike Hallett. Riley, the final contest of his Quaker career. Foul line, Jay on the way for Eggleston, short, as Jack has struggled to find his stroke in the early going. He is now 1-4-4 from the floor.
And unfortunately, he's the guy that's getting the shots, and right now Jack can't make them.
At the near right point, the Ladies, near left corner, Pavel Buchel. Princeton having its way so far with the Quakers up 11-4. McGrady, far left wing, far left baseline. Kareem Maddox taking it into the key, kick out Saunders. 3-for-3 off the screen, way too much muscle, and the board belongs to Rosen. Pushing tempo in the lane, trying to draw contact, does not get the connection. But Zach Rosen, the top free throw shooter in the ancient eight, will head to the foul line.
Zach was really clever. He took it right to Saunders. Saunders is big. There's no reason he has to foul Zach. Just keep his hands up, but Zach has a way of putting his body into Saunders' body and drawing the foul. And if he's fortunate, he makes the field goal and gets the three-point, old-fashioned three-point play.
The southpaw sophomore co-captain connects on his first for his first point tally of this matchup. 12-42 to play in the first. 11-5 is the score. Rosen at the line, and the lefty does not lock in on his second. It remains a 6-point deficit for Penn. Stan Rosen carrying a consecutive game streak of 13 in double figures entering this contest for the Quakers. And where would Penn be without the sophomore from Colonia, New Jersey this season?
He's had an outstanding season. Every phase of the game, he's played well. He hasn't got the scores where things aren't going well. And, you know, I think he's one of those guys who usually hope to hear every day. He makes the players around him a little bit better.
A reach-in foul against Justin Riley. Quakers third, Justin's first. Underhand inbound from Mavrady's to Bucic in the far left corner. Back from Mavrady's far left wing. Doug Davis directing traffic with 27 to shoot for the Tigers. And Penn trailing 11-5. Deep in the middle, Davis has his perimeter shot pop out. Offensive rebound, Queen Maddox. And he's fouled as he went back up.
And nobody could stop Green Maddox from getting that rebound. He's really quick. And, you know, Brian, you made a really good point when you were describing Jagwood Gymnasium and being somewhat of a cavernous place. You're not used to playing here. It's like, you know, it's like going into Syracuse or something. There's really not much of a backdrop. And if you're not practicing here every day, shooting can be very difficult. And teams come in here and don't shoot the ball well.
Maddox blesses his first, a career-high 18 points. On 4 of 10 shooting overall, 10 of 11 from the line just this past Saturday against the Harvard Crimson. Maddox, a brick, bounces off the back of the iron and caught into the hands of Dan Munton. 12-5, the tally remains. Tigers in front with 12 minutes left in a sluggish first half. Eggleston under the foul line, pivots with the left foot, trailing behind Munton, hoists for three, hits from the outside. 12-8, the Quakes have cut it within four. 11:46 to play in period number one.
And Dan Munkin's fingers taped up has become a good three-point shooter. Maybe it has something to do with that tape.
16 on the season. He had 14 points in both games last weekend. Fourth time this campaign, he is back-to-back double-digit outing. Top of the arc, Mavrides, 13 to shoot. Left high post. Mavrides on the block to Bucic, the right-handed hook shot. Off iron, no. Rebound through the hands of Munton and pitched back out to the perimeter to Doug Davis.
No reason for Penn not to have gotten that defensive rebound.
Davis pulls the trigger, and there is another triple from the far left wing. 15-8 as 12 of the Tigers' 15 points, 75% all from the outside.
Sooner or later, someone's going to get the idea that he's making threes. He's out far. He's out way beyond the three-point line, but you just have to guard it.
Rosen under the arc, far right, thought about a three, tosses to Riley atop the key. Rosen gets it back, far right baseline, shut off there by Bucic in the lane, losing the pass. Munton deflects to Godwin along the near left alley. Eggleston, far right, Rosen short on the triple try as the shot clock was winding down at 3 seconds. Long rebound goes to the orange and black.
Pretty tough with Bucic running out at you. 6'9 guy, 6'10 actually, hands up running out of Zach.
7-point lead reestablished for the Tigers under the rack. Losing it is Queen Maddox, but last touch by the Quakers out of bounds. Orange and black will have the ball following this break. 10-17 to play in stands at number one. Timeout on the floor. The score, Princeton 15, Penn 8. Melvin Sports. This is Penn Men's Basketball on 950 ESPN, the Penn Sports Network.
United Healthcare takes its commitment to their members in Pennsylvania seriously. That's why they take an active role in the communities they serve and promote good health every step of the way. Preventive care is covered 100% in most plans. They offer wellness programs to help their members make healthy choices, and they send out reminders for immunizations and annual physical. After all, the mission is to help people live healthier lives. United Healthcare, a proud sponsor of Penn Athletics. Insurance coverage provided by or through United Healthcare Insurance Company or its affiliate. Health plan coverage provided by or through United Healthcare Company.
Be a part of the excitement of Penn Athletics and the Penn Relay. Become a member of the Penn Corporate Partnership Program. Penn Athletics offers many opportunities to promote your business to students, alumni, and fans of the Quakers. The Penn Relays is the nation's largest track meet in the Philadelphia tradition with over 100,000 attendees each year. Penn Athletics can tailor programs to meet your company strategies and budget. Call Michael Farisi at 215-746-7625 today. That's 215-746-7625.
First, 15-8 Tigers, leading to 10 Quakers. 10 students, there is still the 20th
famous familiar. If you already have your card, your card, 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 card. Rebel Award, thanks for award students for coming to the event. Our coins for the potential attendance and decorate cards and more. Red Moon Awards is free sign up today. PennAthletics.com for details. At the inbound front of the bucket for Ian Hummer, the freshman from Vienna, Virginia, who has strong ties to this Tiger program. Sam,
there's a lot of Hummers that played many years ago. Some of them against me in the 60s. They played with Bill Bradley and won a few Ivy League championships. Their name is well known in Christian history. Back to the game. I don't know how they scored that basket. The Hummers are very, very promising looking freshman.
He had 14 points against Penn back on February 16th. He strokes the ensuing free throw to cap off the three-point play. A double-digit 10-point advantage for second-place Princeton, their biggest bulge of the night. The Quakers struggling with this Tigers defense in terms of cracking their scheme. Rosen, deep far right, rises up, does not rifle him a three. Offensive rebound, Munkin, press 35 for the Quakers. Rosen seeking to create in the key left side, too strong, Hallett aims to follow, stepping over the sideline on the far right wing. It is Hummer for the Tigers. The red and blue will retain possession from right to left in the front court, 27 to shoot, trailing 18-8, 9:48. To go in the first. Munkin looking inbound. Nothing going on. A long one after the far right point. And Zach Rosen.
I'm not so much concerned about the deficit. I'm just concerned about their inability to get any easy baskets.
Munkin in the near right corner. A left-handed trace from Finley. He lost the ball in the lane. And Finley swept it away.
That was just lost control of his dribble. Can't turn the ball over. They have to do something defensively to get back in this game.
The Trent Quakers have not suffered a sweep to Princeton since 2001. Maddox in the lane, taking Munkin, muscling in, no good. Follows his own harem. The ball gets stuck as it twirled around the rim. It is lodged on the back square of the iron, bordering right up against the square on the glass. And that results in a jump ball and possession point Penn's way. The rock twirled around the rim and stopped on the back square. Stuck there. Big break for the Quakes. And that seemed destined to drop things.
Seemed destined to drop, but even a bigger break because Maddox missed two shots right at the rim. And it wouldn't be good to go down 12.
Brian Fitzpatrick, the freshman, in, logging his first minutes of the night for Mike Hallett. Godwin, near left wing, chop of the arc, Rosen, 10, totally pressured by Princeton Z. Godwin in the near left corner, he is stumped. And the loose ball is in the hands of Ian Hummer. Nothing going on for the Quakes. No mo on their O. Rob Delcourt got an extended relief stretch on the bench. He's battling ankle pain. His surgery is due in the offseason, but exemplary effort by Delcourt to fight through the discomfort. Far left baseline, Schroeder. 12th to shoot for the Tigers. Davis drills it from deep again. Number four, Cam Thomas. Four three-pointers, 21-8, as Princeton has busted this wide open.
I don't know, this is not a normal Princeton offense. He just shot out to a 24-foot shot and was wide open, and he's knocking him down, Ryan.
Rosen, left side of the lane, top of the arc, Fitzpatrick, who nearly walked with it. He takes it out to the far right point, has relief in Rosen's far right wing. Nine on the shot clock. Rosen stopped on a three-point try from behind by Maddox. And the ball is back to Princeton.
Hey, Maddox can give Zach a really hard time at his size. I think he gives anybody a really hard time.
The Princeton Tigers squarely in control, 21-8, 7.5 to go in the first. This 2009-2010 regular season finale for Penn. Penn perplexed by Princeton on both ends of the court. Davis past Rosen, swivels in. Number two on the right base, 23-8. A lead of 15 for the Tigers with 7-9 left in the first.
So when you run out of guys making three-pointers, guess what? He can go by you, and that's exactly what he did.
Fitzpatrick off balance, stuff from behind. Deflects near left to Eggleston. Top of the arc now. Rosen has it. 17 seconds on the shot clock. Far right corner, Munkin fires, does not flush a three.
On the car on the screen now.
You hear that sarcastic cheer from the crowd. You know that the Tiger fans like nothing more than beating the brains out of the Quakers. And you know, Brian, it's always been that way.
They're succeeding at that so far. Right block three for a pair. Jack Finley, Princeton stretching their commanding advantage now to 27 points. Pardon me, now to 17 points, 25-8.
This is making it look impossible for the Quakers. And we saw the game in the cluster. They're good, but they're not that good.
Rosenkranz, the offensive foul, as he barged in along the baseline. Far right, 4-10. So the Tigers are going to get it back. The Quakers, their 15th foul break in the action. 6:18 to go in the first time out of the floor to score. The Tigers ripping up on the Quakes, 25-8. From Elgin Sports, this is Penn Men's Basketball on 950 ESPN, the Penn Sports Center.
There's one place for great football. That's with the Quakers. And there's one place for the best quality deli products. Your place, ShopRite. The star of the pregame show is always Black Bear premium quality deli products. Available exclusively at ShopRite. You'll never find any MSG in any Black Bear deli products. For lunch bags, game day, or any time, choose premium quality Black Bear deli products. Visit ShopRite's happy department and let us create a fabulous Black Bear deli platter for your next gathering. One place, your place, ShopRite, and go Quakers.
Your Monday will never be the same because it's Fajita Rita Monday at Chili's. Get a double order of classic fajitas for only $14.49. A full pound of juicy marinated steak or chicken grilled to perfection, served sizzling with onions, shell peppers, and the works. Enough for two, just $14.49. And a single order is $8.99. Enjoy a frosty 10-ounce top shelf or Caribbean margarita for only $2.99. It's Fajita Rita Monday, all day, every Monday at participating Chili's.
And 18 seconds to go on what has been a frustrating first half for the 10 Quakers, trailing arch 8-8 rival Princeton by, yikes, 17 points, 25-8 is the score, and the Quakers, hard to do much when you're converting just 3 of 16 from the court, but credit the Tigers because they have just befuddled and vexed the Quakes on either end.
Yeah, but I think it's 10 defense that's the major problem. I know Jerome Allen's got to be totally disappointed at the way this game has begun.
Underneath for the slam on the backcourt, but it is Hummer who hammers it home, 27-8.
And Sean Mullen that time being a kind of a rookie to the back door, got beat by the back door.
And there's a throwaway in the paint. Delcourt tossed it away. It goes to Davis. Left side Hummer. Half guard by Zach Gordon, who is in the game along with Malcolm Washington, Mike Hallett, and Sean Mullen with his striped mohawk. He entered last weekend with that new dude, the well-striped mohawk. Tommy Eggleston, the younger brother of Jack, he also had a similar motif on the cranium, but his mom was coming to the game tonight, and the older dad, Tom, said, Thomas, gotta go.
I like college kids that are still scared of their parents.
Not much of a game at Princeton so far. 27-8, make it 28-8 as the first free throw falls for Ian Hummer of the Orange and Black, a very promising rookie prospect for Sidney Johnson. And the lefty drains his second. 29-8, 5:46. The playing period number one.
I'm impressed with the possibility of Princeton's future. They have some very good young players.
Near left sideline, Washington, the Belcourt, the top of the arc in lane, Howard, spinning right, spinning left back to his right. The rattle won't roll home. Rebound to Hummer. Here is McGrady trying to fight past Washington on the left low post. Far left baseline. Hummer gets past Mullen. And there's a deuce on the right block. Unprotected. It is Bucic. He has three.
It's finally getting worse. And the amazing thing is, you know, Chris is shooting about 13 for 23, which is virtually getting layups almost every time down the court.
5 minutes to go in the first. 31-8. Washington lost the ball as he ignited along the far right baseline. Out of bounds, steps Malcolm, ball back to the orange and black.
I'll try a little bit of manning here. Ted's not going after him. I thought they were going to do show some full court stuff, but no.
Davis stops at the right high post. All Tigers putting a severe stomping on the Quakers so far. 31-8 with 4:39 remaining in the opening stanza. And the Quakers wrap up Doug Davis, and that will go against Sean Mullen. The 18th foul. Make that the 19th foul against the 10 Quakers. And 1-1 upcoming for Ian Hummer.
And the only thought that Ian Hummer has in his young game is the last time out, he didn't look like he could shoot fouls. But so far tonight, he's been pretty good for the foul line.
Hummer, a lefty, gets the front end to fall. And Hummer now has on the night. 7 points. He had only 19 total entering this evening in his 6 outings since he dropped 14 against Penn back on February the 16th. He now aims to notch his ace, and the lefty does just that, calmly connecting on a swish. 33-8, 4:37 to go in a forgettable first.
I don't even know what to suggest at this point.
That's what to say, Stan Pavlik. And Gordon throws it away. He's robbed by McGrady. Makes his way in the lane, gets the foul. No finish. But Dan McGrady will go to the line with an automatic 2 shot for McGrady. Mom Dorothy Gallagher starred on the short-lived television program series, Stan Pavlik. They watch Hawaii.
I think you mentioned that last time out.
That's an interesting nugget.
I was excited about that.
In case we have any first-time listeners to this 33-8 Princeton lead so far with 4 minutes and 22 seconds to go on the opening stanza. And the first one is canned by McGrady. Princeton now 7 of 8 from the free throw line and 11 of 20 overall from the floor. Meanwhile, the 10 Quakers are a less effective 3 of 17.
Now, some of these bench guys had a chance to go in the game and look good, play good defense. It just didn't happen. And the Brady's last time, again, that's a bluster. He really hurt the Quakers too. He was tough.
The Brady's gets his second to go as well. 35 to 8. 27 points. The Princeton Tigers pounding Penn. Belcourt punt fakes the foul line. Rosen, far right wing, right side of the lane, underneath Eggleston, gets the foul on the finish. As the Quakers now 15 minutes and 57 seconds into this outing, they have finally reached double digits, Sam Tavlin, at 35 to 10.
And you're not talking about a player, you're talking about the team. The bottom line of it is nobody's getting open. Jack Eggleston's getting a few shots at the basket, but they shut down Zach, and like I said, this could be a tough venue to shoot in with the backdrop, so, and no one else has stepped up. Munson hit a three, but other than that, nobody else has done much.
The southpaw sends in the foul shot to complete the three-point play, 35 to 11, with 3 minutes and 50 seconds to go in the first half. At the top of the arc, Brendan Connolly, who has only appeared in 13 of now 28 games. I mean, he is already in, so Sidney Johnson lets it out the bench. And another deep reserve freshman, Will Barrett, takes a walk and coughs up the rock to the Quakers. 3:36, left in the first, timeout on the floor to score. Princeton hurting the Quakes, 35 to 11. For now, we're going to score 10 men basketball on 950 ESPN, the Penn Sports Network.
It's that time of year again when America celebrates college hoops. So right now, AT&T is celebrating with 50% off messaging phones.
Check out my new phone.
Sweet.
Full keyboard for messaging and text alerts to tell me the score.
Nice.
And I got it for 50% off at AT&T.
Great, but check out what I got from our troops.
What?
The shot clock? Can your phone do that?
No, but it's got super fast internet to keep up with the game, and it was 50% off.
Can you stop that?
No, that wasn't a shot clock. That was you.
Celebrate college hoops and get 50% off select messaging phones before the clock runs out. Only on the nation's fastest 3G network, AT&T.
Come in now and get 50% off the hottest new quick messaging devices, like the Pantech Impact for $24.99 after mail-in rebate.
3G not available in all areas. 50% off claim based on annual rebate price with 2-year agreement, pay $74.99 and receive a $50 AT&T promotion card. Your wireless service agreement with voice plan and minimum $20 monthly data plan required. Certain geographic other monthly charges and restrictions apply. See for details.
And a very fine first half for the Penn Quakers at 6-21 overall. The Princeton Tigers at 19-8, and they are wild there, these Quakers. 35-11 alongside former Penn Quakers and this five Hall of Famer Sam Hamill. Gus Fleming back at the board at the Penn Sports Network Broadcast Center. Sam, should the Princeton Tigers prevail past Penn tonight, it would mark the first time in ancient eight history that three programs boast 20 victories or more. Harvard has 21, Cornell with 26, 20 to shoot for Penn from right to left in the front court. Hallett, far right point, near left on the wing to Belcourt, an ailing Rob Belcourt, and his pass is intercepted by McGrady, who sprawls the floor. He slid over the far left sideline out of bounds before he could call time, so the Quakers get it back. That is the fifth turnover surrendered by the Tigers. Nine so far for the Quakers, and 13 points translated off that for Princeton.
And what would you think with your three teams with 20 wins? If somebody would think that one of those teams would not be a University of Pennsylvania team, it's almost unthinkable.
And there is Hummer, who hacks a Eggleston pass off his palm out of bounds for Wings. 2:57 to go in the first. It remains 35-11 Princeton. This is exactly, Stan Pavlik, the scenario that you just do not want to see from the Penn perspective.
And mercifully, City Johnson playing a lot of people.
Eggleston underneath throws it away. And we've said that a lot. Trying to come up with new verbiage for that, Sam Pavlik, but that simply is how you describe it.
Yeah, that's a good point. We should find another word for turnover somehow. Kick away, throw away, turnover, mishap. What else?
Dave is certainly representing the spark for his squad from the outside, and now he does it on the block. Left baseline, backdoor touch to tally 2, 37-11, the lead at 26 for the Tigers, with 2:24 to go in the first.
It's a little embarrassing to get beat that way that easily. Just a little back pick, Zach Rosen got picked. There was no help.
Layup. Hallett in the lane, turning to his left, doesn't get the bounce on the hook side attempt. And hauling in the rebound is Brendan Connolly.
Now the little hook is going to go and stall. Connolly's got the ball in the post. Let's see what he does with it.
Connolly into the key, on the step, sends it in the 10 for two, right through the interior Penn defense. 39-11. Princeton by a formidable 28 with a minute 40 to go in the first.
I think anybody that's put the game right now could score.
Top of the arc, Danny Monkton. The left high post. He flings it across the foul line to Eggleston. He now inches into the lane. A distance hook shot. He drills it with the left hand from 9 feet away. 39-13. A minute 21 until intermission and our conversation with then director of athletics Steve Bilski. He will be stopping by in just a few moments.
Let's see what Black can do defensively this time. The guy he's playing has really killed it.
70 seconds to go in the first. McGratis, near right point. To the near right baseline, he has Connolly, who thought the shot, opted not. To Maddox, free on the far left wing. Shot clock at 8, game clock at 55 in the first. And the 10th team foul just committed by the Quakers. And that is going to go against Danny Munson.
Not a good scenario when you've got 10 team fouls and your rival has three and you're behind 26 points. You're shooting 1-1. And I like some of these Princeton players.
Maddox at the line. The righty records the free throw. Green Maddox. That is a second point, but he has 5 rebounds and a pair of assists. Rob Belcourt Allen goes out. Darren Smith, who over the course of this entire slate has not been at 100%, he is back into the game. 40-13, Maddox doesn't get the bounce on his second. 52 seconds to go in the first. From right to left, go over the red and blue. Rosen, top of the arc. Daggleton hands off to Zach. Zach, just a point in the first. A suffocating defensive effort delivered by the Princeton Tigers. Munson, Jay on the way near left. Too much behind it. No good. Rebound to Mount.
Everywhere Zach Rosen goes, there's a 6'5 guy with a hand at his face. Pretty tough when you're 6 feet tall.
Connolly has Schroeder. Senior night in the regular season finale for the Princeton Tigers. Shot clock off. Game clock at 15 for Princeton. Seeking to slap a positive stamp on an overwhelming first half. 40-13 their lead. 8 seconds to go in the first. Davis had the pass picked by Munson. 5 seconds to go. 4-3. Munson to the rack. Foul. No finish. 2.5 seconds to go in the opening stanza. And Danny Munson will head to the foul.
Danny Munson stole, made a nice steal that time. Goes to the basket and was fouled by Connolly. And I don't know. If he makes both, we're only 25 down.
At the strike, Dan Munson does not hit his first. Dan Munson now 23 of 37 from the foul line this season. Last weekend, he shot a combined 11 of 14 from the field, 3 of 4 from the outside. And he had 14 points in both games. He did not start on senior night because it was senior night. He's just a junior, but he has appeared in the starting lineup in 5 of the last 6 games. He sinks his second, 40-14. A second to go, Schroeder to Mavridis, wide to the left. It was high. The horn sounds, and mercifully, a visible first 20 minutes of play for Penn comes to a close. 40-14. The Princeton Tigers marching on the Penn Quakers.
I'll tell you, Brian, I would have not expected this. I thought that after the win against Dartmouth, that there'd be a little bit of jump in the step of the Penn Quakers, and this being the last game and the favorable idea of Jerome Allen becoming the head coach. I thought there'd be a little more shown on the court, and it didn't happen. So just a tough day, tough half for the Quakers.
And Director of Athletics Steve Bilski next. The Quakers do a first half, 40-14. They trail Princeton. From Nelligan Sports, this is 10 Men's Basketball on 950 ESPN, the Fan Sports Network.
What do you put your energy into? Slot car racing in your basement? Dishwasher duty after a family dinner? How about watching Grandpa's slideshow for the 100th time? Do you put your energy into electric guitar lessons, making cupcakes for the school bake sale, or watching our birds fly? Whatever your thing is, PICO is creating ways for you to save energy, money, and the environment while doing it. Like discounts on CFL bulbs that use up to 75% less energy, and real savings on other energy-efficient products. We're also practicing what we preach at PICO by driving a fleet of biodiesel and hybrid vehicles. And we planted the state's largest urban area green roof on our headquarters so we can be more efficient. All these innovations add up to make a real difference in your wallet and the environment. So you can feel good about putting your energy into the things that matter to you. For 20% discounts on energy-saving products, tips, and more, visit pico.com/save or call 215-841-4400.
Coke Zero tastes like Coke. But what good is telling you that on the radio? If you're in your car and you hear me say it, you have to take my word for it. And that makes you one of those guys who believes everything he hears on the radio. Or you cannot believe me, but that makes you a cynic. So you're either the guy who believes everything on the radio, or a super suspicious guy who doesn't believe anything. But there is a third option. You can try one. Then you can taste and see if what you heard on the radio is true. Unless you want to be one of those other guys. Coca-Cola Zero. Real Coke taste, zero calories.
It's that time of year again when America celebrates college hoops. So right now, AT&T is celebrating with 50% off messaging phones.
Check out my new phone.
Sweet.
Full keyboard for messaging and text alerts to tell me the story.
Nice.
And I got it for 50% off at AT&T.
Great, but check out what I got from our hoops.
What?
The shot clock? Can your phone do that?
No, but it's got super fast internet to keep up with the game, and it was 50% off.
Can you stop that?
No, that wasn't a shot clock. That was you.
Celebrate college hoops and get 50% off select messaging phones before the clock runs out. Only on the nation's fastest 3G network, AT&T.
Come in now and get 50% off the hottest new quick messaging devices, like the Pantech Impact for $24.99 after mail-in rebate.
3G not available in all areas. 50% off rebate on after rebate price for 2-year agreement. Pay $74.99 and receive a $50 AT&T promotion card. Your wireless service agreement with voice plan and minimum $20 monthly data plan required. Certain geographic or monthly charges and restrictions apply. Keep going to ask.
Dadwin Gym at Princeton, and the orange and black overwhelmingly over the Quakers in the first 20 minutes play 40-14 as the Italians. What a better night when we get joined by fan director and athletic Steve Oski. Steve, not the easiest of evenings for the Quakers, and also this season has had some highlight moments, particularly the win over Cornell back on Friday, the 12th of February. We've seen some nice player development as of late, but now this being the 28th game of it, what have you made and taken away from 2009-2010?
Well, you know, it's certainly been a year unlike anyone that I can ever remember for all the reasons that we know. But it's been a learning experience for the program, and I think Jerome did pretty much what we were hoping to do, which is to have some pride and to show people that we're not going to accept anything but our best effort and play with enthusiasm. And I think we've done that, and we've actually improved as a team. You look at the game tonight. What you have to learn from this is what the players are going to need to learn is what you always have to come out ready to play. And two, when you play a team like Princeton, you have to execute on both ends, offensively and defensively. And historically, one of the reasons why we've done well against Princeton is that we have done that. And I think that's part of the learning experience for the coaches and for the players.
You've been around this program for just a few years. A long time graduating out of Wharton in 71. Big Five Hall of Famer, Penn Athletics Hall of Famer, and now in your term as athletic director. Has this been the hardest year for you? I mean, if you look back over them all, just being associated with the program and being around some of the decisions you've had to make.
I would say absolutely, yes. From two standpoints. One is, as an athletic director, you're responsible for all programs, and obviously basketball means a lot to the institution. And so, because of what's happened this year, it's certainly been more stressful. There have been some good moments more recently, and that's been uplifting. And the second part is, although I care for all the sports, from a fan standpoint, I have a specific tie to basketball. So, for me to come and watch a game in the clusters, it's somewhat of an enjoyment, a relaxation. The fun part of the job is, as a head basketball player and a fan, it's very difficult to watch something that's not what you expected to be.
Speaking with Penn, the director of athletics, Steve Bilski, intermission at Richmond, the Tigers on top of the head Quakers by a family of 40-14. So in the coming weeks, pretty big decision upcoming for you as far as the status of interim head coach Phil Mallett and where the program goes. What do you examine throughout this process? What do you look for? How do you evaluate this type of situation?
One of the collateral benefits of having this name in place in December is that we know we would have a new coach, and that you can methodically and calmly look at your options and scrutinize what's out there and come clear as to what, in this case, I believe we need. And that was done relatively quickly. So, from a timing standpoint, it's somewhat of a luxury to be able to be able to begin the unofficial search in December or January as compared to what normally happens during April and May. But it helps us strategically in terms of the existing recruits and also the future recruits. So, I concluded very early what I believe we needed. You do a lot of work behind the scenes. And I think now that the season's come.
coming to an end for us, and also some other coaches that we might be looking at, that we should be able to move somewhat quickly, and certainly not be hastily.
And I know you can't show any secrets, but the level of interest that you've gauged so far in this position, how would you describe it?
Tremendously strong. I mean, it's always going to be strong. I mean, people in the basketball world know what 10 basketball is and what it means and what a good job it is. And you just have to look at the people who have held the position both as head coaches and assistant coaches, you know, whether they stayed at 10 for a long time like Grant Dundee, or whether they used it somewhat as a springboard to a bigger, not necessarily better job, but bigger job. So the same thing exists today. The interest has been strong. I know of coaches that have indicated to me, you know, that if given the opportunity, they would love it, who have already turned down other job openings that exist. But we're in a special time, a special place, and that's important in terms of hiring somebody. You have to know what the fit is at this time, and I'm pretty certain I know what that is. I think we'll have a real good basketball coach.
Wrapping up with Red Bull Director of Athletics, Steve Bilski, halftime at Princeton 40-13. Princeton Tigers leading the Penn Quakers. And it was such a delicate situation that Jerome entered into this season. He was the volunteer assistant coach, and here he comes, and he led Penn to a victory in his fourth game on the sidelines. Number 22, Cornell, taking them down first victory for the program over a ranked opponent since November 27, 1990. What has impressed you the most about how Jerome and Penn led the Tigers to win?
Well, the thing that I enjoy many things about Jerome and his knowledge of the game and his love for Penn, and, you know, and he's the perfect combination of being a strict disciplinarian and being, you know, a cheerleader, enthusiastic person, has been the perfect balance. But what I enjoy the most about him is when I sit and talk basketball, even though we've played in different generations, we had the same experience at Penn, almost identical, and we put the same things out of it. And that's the comfort level that I have with Jerome, is that it doesn't make a difference that he played in the 90s and I played in the 60s and 70s. Our experiences were so identical that, in my opinion, he can really translate that and transmit that to today's players and future players. And that's why he's such a strong candidate. He knows the game. He's a good X and O person. He has great work ethic. It's a competition, but it's going to take a hell of a coach to beat him out.
Well, you mentioned right when you made the decision back on Monday, December 14th, that you wanted to reestablish the identity of Penn men's basketball and the alumni outreach. It's been great to see some people back, the alumni game is terrific too. But for the broader Penn Athletics family, a nice event coming up, May 8th, Penn Athletics Hall of Fame, good regular tradition and honoring system going on there. So that is something to look forward to as you spend a little bit beyond basketball on that night.
Sure, we have so many wonderful things going on. A lot of our teams are doing very well, and we've talked about the great physical improvements we're doing to the campus and the Hall of Fame, of which we're going to be announcing the inductees shortly. One of the great things about Penn, people talk about, well, if you play a certain sport and you lose a game, you have another game coming up quickly to play. In our status, we have something going on every day, 24/7. So you can't afford to spend any one time spending too much thought on any one thing because you're overwhelmed with the expanse of our program. So that's what I enjoy very much. Hall of Fame is just a good example of really one of the fun things that we do.
And the new workout facility on the north side of Franklin Field, the pavilion there, generously donated by George A. Weiss, longtime proud supporter of Penn Athletics. That's just around the corner. I'm going to be able to start working out on the treadmill a little bit, early morning runs over there, and that's going to be impressive. It looks awesome right now.
Are you talking about me or you?
No, that's me.
Oh,
that's, radio broadcast, Dan. We have these figures.
You're looking at us, though, Brian, when you're saying this stuff. It's really fantastic, and the great thing about it is that when you're building something, it's kind of hard for us to really have that unique skill of visualizing something in the early stages of what it's going to look like. But now that it's near the end, we really can see what it's going to look like, and it is beyond our imagination, beyond our dreams. It's a spectacular facility. It's the first of many things we're going to do. Penn Park is kicking off this fall in terms of construction. That's going to change the campus dramatically, change the opportunities for our intervention program in ways that we haven't been able to do in 100 years. So
So, you know, sometimes there'll be disruption and there'll be inconvenience for the next couple of years, but when it's done, you know, we basically will have created a new campus on the East End.
The Green White Pavilion, Camp Park, it is truly a landmark period for Penn Athletics. Steve Bilski, as always, the insight, much appreciated. Thanks so much for hanging out over the course of this entire campaign. And the first stay off the blog.
Did the blog ever have anything that's accurate?
You know, I try not. I tweet. I don't blog.
There you go.
You can tell the truth in 140 characters or less, you know.
You have it.
Steve Bilski, thanks so much. Enjoy the off season and the spring sports season that is getting started soon.
Thanks very much.
Penn trailing Princeton at the half 40-14 as the Quakers try to overcome a deficit of 26 points. More to come on the Holiday and Halftime Report from Nelligan Sports. This is Penn Men's Basketball on 950 ESPN, the Penn Sports Network.
For more than 60 years, Independence Blue Cross has offered quality health care products and services designed specifically to meet the changing health care needs of its customers. In the Philadelphia area alone, IBC provides health insurance coverage to more than 2.8 million people. For more information on Independence Blue Cross, go online to IBX.com.
Brown, Columbia, Cornell, Dartmouth, Harvard, Penn, Princeton, and Yale, synonymous with academic and athletic excellence, the Ivies have the broadest intercollegiate programs in the country. That means more teams, sports, and student athletes than any other intercollegiate athletic conference. These men and women combine national competitive success with the best academic records in the NCAA. Experience the Ivy League yourself at IvyLeagueSports.com.
In the sports arena, the greatest glory comes from success when it really counts. Kindred Hospitals knows that feeling. As one of Fortune Magazine's most admired companies of 2009, we offer high-intensity medical care at the most crucial points in our patients' lives. Our team is Kindred, our game is healing, and winning is recovery. We really are. Let the Kindred team help when it counts most. For more information, visit kindredhospitals.com.
950 ESPN. WPES Philadelphia.
Intermission winding down at Ganwin Gymnasium, capacity 6,854 on the campus of Princeton University in Princeton, New Jersey. The Penn Quakers have a lot of work to do in the second stanza, trailing the Tigers by 26 points, 42-14. Alongside former Penn Quaker and Big Five Hall of Famer Stan Pavlik, I'm Brian Seltzer. Betsy Deming back at the board at the Penn Sports Network Broadcast Center. And Stan, it was a very insightful, interesting halftime conversation with Steve Bilski. He said, I think I can use this. Well, I'll tone that a little bit because we don't have to put up this and drop up back to the station. He said that Jerome Allen has a heck of a chance and is a strong candidate as far as the coaching position, but he said there has been a lot of interest in the job so far, and also indicating that this whole situation could be resolved within the next 2 weeks.
I think he has a good chance. I know Steve will play it tight to the vest before he gives a real indication if he'll get the job or not. I tell you, it's a hard decision. I don't think it's as far as Jerome is concerned, I don't think that's the hard decision. It's just there's a lot to think about, you know what I mean? Particularly when you got to get rid of a coach like he did mid-season. He doesn't want to have to do that again.
Stan will break down the first half stats in a matter of moments, but back to the action on the court. 13 seconds in to the second, Princeton with possession and a 26-point lead. They're moving from right to left in the front court. Shot clock at 15 for the orange and black. Marcus Schroeder takes it fouling. Takes the jumper, hands off to Finley on the left block. He backs in on Eggleston's driving hook attempt, blocked. He recovers his own miss. Free in the far right corner. Schroeder can't sink the three as the shot clock was winding down. But a discombobulated Quaker crew in the key could not handle the count, and as a result, they cough up back to the Tigers.
And Princeton has the luxury of starting the seniors once again, Brian, with a lead like they have, 26 points. They could afford to give those seniors a little more time.
Marcus Schroeder, far right point, setting up the offense with 9 minutes and 13 seconds remaining in the 2009-2010 season for Penn. There's a backdoor cut that had all but the finish executed to near perfection. The Raiders couldn't handle the pass as he strode through the lane out of bounds, so the Red Bull get it back. Not a bucket yet or a point here in the second stanza. It remains 40-14. Tigers.
But Doug Davis had a bucket point for every minute he played in the first half. There's 6 or 7 for the field and 4 for 5 from the three-point line. He had 16.
Top of the arc, Rob Belcourt blasts the bucket with the left hand. He is deflected and rejected from behind by Pavel Buchek at 6'10", 220, the senior in his regular season finale.
Yes, and Rob just doesn't have any lift off that bad ankle. He's struggling to get to the basket, could not get up in the air.
Rosen from the near right corner connects on a quick release off the inbounds for three, 40-17. So the second half starting on a positive production on that possession for Penn.
Zach Rosen seems to be a strong shooter in the second half. He's had great second halves all year long.
That the first field goal of the night for Zach Rosen and just the sixth for the Quakers. They have converted to 6 of 23 field goal tries, and that is the third personal foul picked up by Zach Rosen along the near left end line, and it was drawn by the Princeton Tigers. Kareem Maddox coming in for Nick Lake.
And Susie Johnson say, well, Zach made one, and I'm going to put Maddox in this to defend him so he can't make any more.
Maddox at the top of the arc, shot clock at 29 for Princeton. The Princeton Tigers, they have improved coming into tonight by 16 wins as Danny Munkin nearly plies away a pass in the far right corner. Check that. Princeton has improved from 13 wins over the last two seasons. They were 6-23 with the Tigers in Sidney Johnson's first campaign on the sideline, and 3-11 in the Ancient Eight. But perhaps that example instructive for aspirations for this Penn program, which has the red and blue reeling right now at 6-21 and down 40-17 with 18 minutes to go in this worst season. It has been the worst season by record standpoint in Penn basketball history. So perhaps, Stan, the Tigers, you never want to say that Princeton can serve as a model for anything from the Penn perspective, but in this sense, it wouldn't be the worst thing.
If we can turn it around in 2 years, it would be wonderful. And I think this Princeton team has to be an odds-on favorite in the Ivy League next year with Harvard.
Shot waved off by Finley as he fought his way in on the right low post. Foul flagged against Penn. They changed that back. Brandon Cruz looked like he signaled against Penn. As a matter of fact, it once again Zach Finley, the first team foul for the Tigers, and the first for Finley off the inbound. Rosen is blocked by Buchek. That is his second block of the night, and for the Tigers, they are racking it up in terms of blocks, 5 on the evening. 40-17, the score remains with 7-17 left in the second stanza.
Zach often goes in among those trees trying to get shots off, and pretty tough.
Remember when the Princeton Tigers stand, as the shot clock is now at 8, and Mavridis makes his move past Rosen, and there is a crime committed on the court by Mavridis. Another foul flying against the Princeton Tigers. The Red Bull regain possession. Princeton scoreless so far in the second stanza through the first 2 minutes and 57 seconds played. The Penn Quakers have just one bucket in the second period, and that from Rosen on the perimeter. Far left alley, Munkin, a pass to Eggleston on the block, back out to Munkin, who gets a jumper at the top of the key. A long two tallied by Danny Munkin, who has stroked 7 so far, and Penn within 21 points, 40-19.
His shooting has improved, Dan Munkin. That was a beautiful release on a jump shot, one you could take a picture of.
Stan, like to harken back to February 1999 when the Penn Quakers had a pad of 24 points, 33-9 intermission against the Princeton Tigers, that the Tigers ultimately overcame that deficit to win 50-49 on Black Tuesday. Davis, the step back, short, shot clock doesn't reset. Long rebound out to Saunders, but he's laying a brick on the jumper. Rebound to Penn. So the Quakers aiming to mount a little offensive mo. Eggleston far left on the wing to Belcourt. Back to Jack, left baseline, off the glass and good for Jack Eggleston. The Penn Quakers on a spurt of seven straight to start the second half. They have come within 19 points, 40-21 with 15:44 left.
And everybody, you know, I was thinking of that. I just didn't know how soon you would mention that game, Brian. You mentioned it now, so if it can happen once, it can happen again.
Finley crossing the foul line, right to left, far right wing. Saunders seeking a post presence, nothing there. Shot clock at 9 now for the Princeton Tigers. It whittles down to 6 seconds. Maddox on the perimeter. And the foul line stripped by Jamie Munson. Defense delivers for Penn. Rosen swerving. Far left wing. Jay on the way. Good! For Zach Rosen. Life! Finally some life on the Quakers sideline and on the court as Penn is pulled within 17. 40-23. The first 9 points of the second half belong to the red and blue.
This will be nice to have a comeback. Be good for Jerome. It'd be good for the Quakers.
On the left block, Kareem Maddox clutches again. The first points tallied by the Tigers in the second half as Danny Munson had one of the bandages on his tape right wing and pointer fingers come free, so that will be examined by ace expert hand trainer Philip Stamko. The silver season for Phil is his 25th year. Is that the right silver?
Silver is 25. And Cernas seems like he's the fixture on the 10 bench. What a wonderful guy, what a wonderful trainer.
Players come, players go, coaches change.
They never taught him how to teach his three, though. I see a problem with that.
14-46 to go, and the second time out of the four to score. The Quakes trying to mount a little run. Now down by 19-42-23. Now in fourth, 10 men basketball on 950 ESPN, the Penn Sports Center.
In the sports arena, the greatest glory comes from success when it really counts. Kindred Hospitals knows that feeling. As one of Fortune Magazine's most admired companies of 2009, we offer high-intensity medical care at the most crucial points in our patients' lives. Our team is Kindred, our game is healing, and winning is recovery. We win a lot. Let the Kindred team help when it counts most. For more information, visit kindredhospitals.com.
Coke Zero tastes like Coke, but what good is telling you that on the radio? If you're in your car and you hear me say it, you have to take my word for it. And that makes you one of those guys who believes everything he hears on the radio. Or you can not believe me, but that makes you a cynic. So you're either the guy who believes everything on the radio, or a super suspicious guy who doesn't believe anything. But there is a third option. You can try one. Then you can taste and see if what you heard on the radio is true. Unless you want to be one of those other guys. Coca-Cola Zero. Real Coke taste and zero calories.
The Red Bull registered the first 9 points of the second stanza at Princeton. Still, the Quakers have a long bit of shoveling to do to try and get the dirt back in that hole that they've fallen into, down by 19-42-23, but the Quakers with possession from left to right in the front court. On the floor for Penn, Munson, Eggleston, Hallett, Belcourt, and Rosen. Eggleston, foul line, pushing his way into the lane, throws it away towards the timeline, out of bounds. Defense disrupting that possession for Penn.
Yeah, you can't have careless turnovers like that in comebacks. And Penn was doing fine until that dunk by Kareem Maddox on the block.
McGrady has Maddox at the far right point at the right high post. Finley, Hallett hounding him, pushing him back to the perimeter. Saunders to Davis, near left on the wing. Davis delivered a team best and game high 16 stroke in the first. Shot clock at 14. That's why within the finger roll falls for two. 44-23. Penn defense not exemplary this evening on the inside and also on the wing. 44-23. Lead back up above 20 for Princeton. Eggleston. The ball barely nicks rim on a three. Offensive rebound and foul drawn by Danny Munson down below the bucket.
And Jack shot that three, and that's his 0-for-2 from the three-point line. I think Penn's got to look for open threes from their best shooters and get the ball down on the block when they can. And what Danny just did there was great.
prize is offensive rebounding. And Stan, what is so unfortunate about the Quakers shooting 9 for 28 in this contest, as Monkton, the right-handed junior, makes his first. And on the evening, Danny Monkton with 9 points notched now. The tough thing is that the previous couple games, the Quakers were shooting very well, as Danny has delivered double digits, and now 3 straight games, the longest such stretch of his Quaker career. Penn had been shooting 49.6% from the floor its previous 4 outings coming into this contest, but they have lost some of that groove after, in the first half, the Quakers were 5 of 21 from the floor. 44-25, Penn's deficit down to 19 again with 13:35 to go. Far right baseline, Maddox trying to make his way inside on a swatting Belcourt. Foul called on the court. The Quaker coaching staff was asking for a walk. And Stan, when you scan the Quaker bench, you have Jerome Allen, the interim John R. Rockwell, head coach of men's basketball at Penn, joined by John Gallagher, Mike Martin, and volunteer Vin Man, Vince Curran. And you really have to commend the job that those four gentlemen have done, as Davis has a screen top of the arc, awry on the three, tap out to Belcourt and Penn in transition. But the coaching staff, they really have enjoyed one another's company. Rosen rumbling to the rack with a right-handed scoop. It doesn't drop. Rebound of Davis. They've come together, they've gelled, and they've provided stability for their players. Davis, a quick jump shot, short off the iron to the right high post. Back and forth we go. Rosen gets the finger on the fall on the right side of the rack. 44-27, and is now within 17 with 12:51 to go.
Well, this one has a whole different tone to it than the last half. And you're right, that coaching staff, through all of the toughness of this year, they show no discouragement. They've really done nothing but encourage the kids, and I think they've done a great job.
Palmer trying to pivot right side lane, kick out time block. McGrady turns the triple at the top of the arc. His first field goal plus of this 222nd meeting between Penn and Princeton. He averages 11.9 points per game. Belcourt under the arc, near right, has Rosen near right baseline. 47-27, Princeton by 20. Monkton, far left, baseline, bump, and the bucket on the jumper. The unconventional route for the red and blue junior guard to get a three-point play opportunity. He's made it 47-29. The Quakers could have their 30th point tallied on a potential free throw make by Danny Monkton right here.
I'm amazed by Danny Monkton. You know, when I first saw him start playing this year, I really didn't have much confidence as a shooter. I saw him take a couple threes, and they weren't close, and all of a sudden he's got excellent rotation on the ball. You know, he's got his hands in the right position, and you know one of those assistant coaches you were talking about has been working on a shooter.
He has a Quaker high 13 points after completing that three-point play. And the scoreboard stand, I mean, with 11:55, it doesn't look as awful, 47-30, as it did at 40-14 at the break. Davis, top of the arc. Maddox, 15 to shoot. Three underneath, but fouled on the right lower post. Finley, as the Quakers needed to prevent that jam to the jugular attempt by Finley.
Yeah, he got wide open under there, and that, if anything, that was an excellent foul by Jack Eggleston. Instead of giving him a layup, make him shoot 2 foul shots.
11:44 remaining in regulation. Timeout on the floor to score. Princeton still taming the Penn Quakers. 47-230 from Allegan Sports. Penn Men's Basketball on 950 ESPN, the Penn Sports Network.
Tell me, what do you love about Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love the taco salad.
Fast, fresh.
Burritos, quesadillas, tacos.
5 sauces.
Oh,
yeah.
I got to the point that if I had to eat something one more time that wasn't good for me, just because I was in a hurry, I was going to go crazy. And I found Qdoba, and I'm up.
Yeah, you can have it for a month straight to get something different every day.
Everybody can make what they want, and
that's a good burrito.
That's what I love.
That's what I love about Qdoba.
Qdoba Mexican Grill. Hundreds of original flavors you won't find anywhere else. Only fast, fresh, and right in front of you. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
For more than 60 years, Independence Blue Cross has offered quality healthcare products and services designed specifically to meet the changing healthcare needs of its customers. In the Philadelphia area alone, IBC provides health insurance coverage to more than 2.8 million people. For more information on Independence Blue Cross, go online to IBX.com.
11 minutes and 44 seconds left in the regulation portion of this 2009-2010 slate. For the Penn Quakers, that started with 10 straight losses after 7 games. Glenn Miller relieved of his head coaching responsibility back on the 14th of December. Jerome Allen installed in the interim capacity. And now Steve Wilkie, and also the university has a big-time decision to make, Sam Pappas. And listen, you can call me a company man if you want, and that's fine. You're justified in doing that. However, Steve Wilkie understands how significant of a decision this is going to be. You heard that in his tone and his voice during our conversation with him at the half. Now, whether or not he selects Jerome Allen, I don't know. He said he has a hell of a chance. That was his exact words, and you take him at that. But the program means a lot to Steve, as the free throw is no good by Finley at the line, and certainly diligence will be done in the search. Who it will be, as Finley gets the bounce to bottom home on a second, that remains to be seen, as some intrigue will unfold in the coming days for sure. 48-30 now, Tigers in front.
Well, we're all intrigued by what might happen, and certainly Jerome, I think, has an inside track.
Zach Rosen saves an errant pass near right corner as he was falling out of bounds. He flung a pass across the sideline to Munkin, but then the red and blue throw it away right in front of us, near right out of bounds. Untimely turnover as time beginning to run out on the Quakers. 11:27 left, 48-30. Tigers still well in front and in control.
Zach made a really good play on an errant pass. Threw it to Rob Belcour and made another errant pass.
Rob Belcour, while his injured ankle has restrained him offensively, man, the kid has hustled and battled on the defensive side, which is really what he takes the most pride in. Terrific kid. They all are on this club, which is why it's so unfortunate the way this season has gone. Knocked out of bounds, near left baseline by Eggleston, 11 to shoot for the Tigers.
Well, I don't know how long Rob's ankle's been hurt, but the last three games are the most noticeable as far as I'm concerned, where he's really been hobbling. And he's always got the assignment of the toughest player on the other team, even now with a bad ankle.
Shot clock at 6, and there is Finley, who fought past Hallett, who could do nothing else but foul from behind. 48-30, it remains, but now the Quakers with their 14th foul in the first against Vitalik. Finley heads back to the line. He has on the night 5 points and 3 rebounds.
Well, the idea, Brian, is not to make it just a run and then have the game go back to where it was. The idea is to make Princeton uncomfortable. Penn most likely is going to have a difficult time to win this ball game, but it would be nice to put the pressure on and make them think about what's going on and show them that we can play basketball.
Finley misfires on a second after Finley gets first, but collected his own carom, and the Quakers charged with another foul. That is their fifth, and that is the third against Dan Munkin, who has a team-high 13 points. Zach Rosen has a streak of 13 straight games in double digits, somewhat in jeopardy. He has 8 right now, 3 of 10 from the floor.
So Jerome was halfway out in the middle of the floor yelling about that last call. I think the official came over to say, come on, Jerome, I don't want to call a technical on you now with the score the way it is. Give me a break. That's funny. I'm sure that Jerome did get a smile out of him, out of Jerome. He got a smile out of Jerome after a minute or two.
Finley gets both to fall, 51-30, and it remains a sizable advantage for the Orange and Black. 10:47 left. Jerome Allen, the interim John O'Rockwell, head coach of men's basketball at Penn. Munson making his way inside, right side of the rack, does not get the bounce to bottom home. Hummer holds in the rebound, Tigers in transition from right to left in the front court. Jerome Allen not sporting the dark red-based varsity Penn letter sweater. Davis off the iron on the 3 attempts in the near right wing. The red and blue running ahead of the pack. Jack Eggleston forces it with an authoritative left-handed throwdown. 51-32 with 10:15 left in the second.
That's a great dunk, Jack. He got it on his left side. He's left-handed. Landed hard through the basket.
Finley shuffles across the foul line in prototypical center fashion in the Princeton offense and gives a nice screen to Doug Davis. Rosen stays with him. Hummer hammering his way towards the hoop in the lane. The fall away won't go.
Rebound gobbled up by Danny Munson. Quakers within 19. Rosen penetrates and he's hacked hard from behind by Kareem Maddox. 9:46 now to go in the second.
So we haven't been able to bring that lead. We had it to 17, but the key stopping at 17. You have to inch by inch. And it's all defensive possessions, Brian. That's what helps you come back in ball games. Certainly you got to score, but it's stopping them is what does it.
Rosen, the left-handed sophomore, a sterling second season for the Quakers. He deposits his first. So there's nine, and the one more will allow Zach Rosen to, unless this game goes into overtime, in regulation he will get to 14 games in a row in double digits. Rosen, no less, he has tallied his 10th point on the night. 14 consecutive contests for Zach Rosen in double digits. And also for Rosen, 25 in his final 26 games in double figures. The last time he was held beneath 10, 8 points against St. Joe's. Maddox draws a foul on a double team deep near left. That is the 16th foul. It's 51-34 with 9:34 remaining in regulation. Stan, in order for this one to fall into the feasible category for the Quakes, where do they need to get, do you think, by the 4-minute mark?
Well, they're 17 now. I'd like to see it get to 10, which is only 7 points, by about 5, you know, 5.5. Then you got to say, well, there's a chance.
Listen, Stan Pavlik is not just a former Penn Quaker and Big Five Hall of Famer, but he coached alongside Gary Williams of Maryland at Woodrow Wilson. The Raiders, top of the arc, does not get a three to drop. Near left end line, out of bounds, last touched by the orange and black. Hummer battled with Eggleston, so the Quakers are able to regain possession with 9:10 to go, 51-34.
You know, Brian, my basketball is irrelevant right now, but we had a freshman game where we were down 11 with 50 seconds to go on the clock and won by two. Anything can happen.
You see some intensity in the eyes of the five Quakers on the court, Eggleston, Hallett, Belcourt, Moncton, and Rosen, to be determined if that fight translates to points. Belcourt rises up near right, buries it from beyond, and the Quakers, with that three thrown in by Belcourt, they have clawed within 14, 51-37, with 8:40 left. Far left point. Hummer hands off to Schroeder, back to Hummer near left. Goes to Maddox, the top of the arc. Far right wing, McGrady, stock clock at 16. McGrady makes his move, blocked by Munson, loose in the lane. The follow is short by McGrady. Free into the hands of Danny Munson. And with 8:19 to go, a little mo going on for the Quakers. They are back on the offensive, trailing by 14 after being down by 26 at the half.
Another field goal to cause a timeout by Christian. You can bet on that.
Rosen nearly throws it away along the far left end line. It was deflected out of bounds by 6'10 center Pavel Buchik. The Quakers have 17 seconds with which to work, with 8:03 to go in the second half.
Now, you have to admit, you watched that last defensive possession, and certainly it was more intense than anything you've seen all night. Am I correct?
No question. The red and blue have ratcheted up the energy for sure, but Rosen is robbed on a deflected pass far left by Dan Mavrady.
And that pass was thrown on Zach's inside hand, right where the defense was, and they took it from Zach.
7:43 to play in period number two. Far right on the wing, Schroeder for the Penn Quakers, their 13th turnover of the night. Shot clock at 10 for the Tigers. Schroeder, a senior, looking alive, nothing there. As Penn is dialing up the defensive intensity. The shot by Schroeder near left baseline, blocked by Eggleston. The shot clock did not stop at the scorer's table. The officiating crew will determine what to do. 7:23 to go in the second stanza. Timeout on the floor. The score, the Quakers aiming to make it interesting. Princeton will have a second on the shot clock after the break. But Penn, within 14, is it possible? There is still time. 51-37, timeout on the floor. That is your score from Nelligan Sports. Penn men's basketball on
950 ESPN, the Penn Sports Network.
Brown, Columbia, Cornell, Dartmouth, Harvard, Penn, Princeton, and Yale. Synonymous with academic and athletic excellence, the Ivies have the broadest intercollegiate programs in the country. That means more teams, sports, and student-athletes than any other intercollegiate athletic conference. These men and women combine national competitive success with the best academic records in the NCAA. Experience the Ivy League yourself at IvyLeagueSports.com.
In the sports arena, the greatest glory comes from success when it really counts. Kindred Hospitals knows that feeling. As one of Fortune Magazine's most admired companies of 2009, we offer high-intensity medical care at the most crucial points in our patients' lives. Our team is Kindred, our game is healing, and winning is recovery. We win a lot. Let the Kindred team help when it counts most. For more information, visit kindredhospitals.com.
The Penn Quakers have found an offensive spark in the second half. 51-37, still the red and blue are behind by 14 points with 7:23 remaining in regulation alongside former Penn Quaker and Big Five Hall of Famer Sam Tablet. Brian Seltzer, Delphi Devin back at the board of the Penn Sports Network Broadcast Center. Sam, the Penn Quakers have outscored the Princeton Tigers 23-11 in the second half. They were down by 26 at the break. 40-14. A second on the stop clock. Shorter will inbound near left baseline for Princeton. And they move from right to left. He's looking to pitch it in. Time winding down off the inbound. Late attempt off the rim. And good for Davis on the right block after he missed his first attempt.
I don't know how he caught the ball, number one. The only thing that saved him was he hit the rim and was able to get a new shot clock.
First point in the second half for Davis after he drilled 18 in the first. Everson far left locks in on a key three. 53-40, Penn within 13. 6:56 to play.
There's a lot of time left and hit a couple threes and it'll be tight.
Davis driving the lane, left side bump and a bucket and a big crossroads of this contest for Doug Davis. A solid sophomore out of the Hunt School and nearby Princeton, but he grew up in Philly, 55-40. The lead back up to 15 for the Tigers, a chance to stretch it to 16 on the ensuing free throw.
Well, he's the one who's really killed the Quakers tonight. I mean, just when it appeared when the Penn could make a little more inroad, you know, he's got two big baskets and a foul shot, and we don't have anybody to guard him. Zach Rosen had a difficult time, and now Rob Duffer on one leg is having a harder time.
As indicated by the tiers, the free throw falls for Davis. He has 21 points, 56-40, 10 trailing by 16. Crunch time for the Quakes with 6:34 left in their 2009-10 season. Eggleton entry pass deflected to Hallett, foul line, hits the 15-footer. 56-42, 6:25 left.
What an improvement in shooting in the second half. It's almost unbelievable. I have 5 for 21 first half shooting. They've come way back with a much better percentage this half.
Full court press picked up by Penn. Princeton braces. Davis spinning. The left side post retreats to the near left wing on the perimeter. Top of the arc. It is Finley who swings it to Maddox. Near left wing. Shot clock at 15. Game clock at 6 minutes. Maddox throwing the arc near left. Deep in the middle to Schroeder. Back to Maddox. Three in the near left corner. Pulls the trigger. No triple. Belcourt the board. The red and blue run it from left to right into the front court. Belcourt can barely walk on his left ankle.
Maddox, that's what I want to see him do. Shoot threes.
Eggleston driving. Pull up near right wing. Short off iron. Rebound loose. Far side on the left baseline. Tracked down by Davis. Remains 56-42. With 5:27 left.
And Jack Eggleston normally uses the backboard from that spot, but did not that time and just missed a nice jump shot.
Hand off to Mavridis, top of the arc, and now Princeton seeking to likely slow down the offensive set. Shot clock at 10 with 5:09 to go, Penn trailing by 14. Maddox to the near left baseline. In the key, Eggleston sticks with him, but is going to be slapped with a foul. That is the eighth committed by the Quakers.
And Jack Eggleston is matched up with Maddox, who's 6'9", but does not play like he's 6'9", but he's very, very quick. for Jack Eggleston to guard him.
At the stripe, Kareem Maddox. 2-for-4 this evening from the free throw line. 2-of-6 from the field. 6 points and 7 rebounds. The junior lays a beauty brick. No good on the front end. The score still stays at 56-42.
Princeton's better when he's on the floor. It's just that offensively he has some liability.
At the stripe, the second one is short as well from Maddox. The red and blue giving a gift. 56-42. Score still stays the same. It's 4:50 to go. Now at top of the arc. Far left on the wing, Monkton. Deep near right wing, Rosen. It's 18 to shoot. His red and blue from left to right. Rosen kick out, Monkton makes his way inside. The finger roll doesn't fall, but he draws the foul. Danny Monkton heads stripeward. He already has on the night a total of 13 points. And it's a third team foul against Zach Finley for the Tigers. Overall, the orange and black have 6. And 15-37 from the field after 5-21 in the first. Monkton off iron, no good on his first.
Danny Monkton made a nice drive to the basket. And as we all know, he's a great jumper. Just missed about a finger roll and now has to make at least one of the two fouls to make this trip at least worthwhile.
Monkton sinks his second, 56-43 once again. The Quakers have drawn within 13 points with 4:32 to play. Penn, 4 of 11 from the perimeter, just 11 three-point attempts taken by the Quakers. They've had 15 in all but one game this year. McGrady's misfires from the near left corner. Rebound hauled in by Hallett, and he bounces it over to Belcourt. Belcourt turns on the Jets, far left corner, has Rosen atop the arc. Rosen, foul line, stops on a dime, back behind Hallett. Far left, Belcourt on the wing. Crowd sort of travel on Rosen, might have had a case. Rosen penetrates, there's a pair on the right low post, and with that, timeout taken by the Penn Quakers. That deposit on the block by Rosen has allowed the Quakers to climb within 11 points with 4:02 to go, 56-45.
Second half, totally different. Hard to figure out why. Zach made a beautiful drive to the basket that time, holding off the big guy, shooting with his right hand, made a nice layup off the board. And when he can keep that player, the defensive player on his back, he's tough going to the basket. And here's Coach Allen telling him something on the floor.
And then he slaps five with Zach Rosen and pats him on the fanny, because Rosen is an extension, most certainly, of whoever his head coach is. But in this particular case, Zach Rosen, he has been outspoken in comments about his connection and what he feels towards Jerome Allen and his desire to see Jerome Allen remain in this head coaching capacity on a permanent basis. That's still up in the air, and there is uncertainty surrounding that scenario. But Jerome Allen, we have seen it in games, Stan. We have seen it at practice. So invested, instructive in how he goes about conducting his business. It is a true teaching process with him at the helm.
There's no question about that. And that little man-to-man session out in the middle of the floor.
I like that.
It has something to do with defense. Zach Rosen's offensive game is really impressive. You make it better than what it already is. And I think there's just times when Zach has to play a little bit better defense. And Jerome being the almost, he's one of the best defensive guards you could ever ask for. He wants to see Zach become an even more complete player than he is already.
Stan Pavlik and I alluded to the notorious Black Tuesday defeat that the Penn Quakers suffered at the hands of the Orange and Black in February 1999, when the Red and Blue, as Penn puts on the full court press, McGradius passed the flipping Monkton to beat it. The Quakers established a 33-9 edge as a foul is drawn by maneuvering McGradius right side of the lane. The Penn Quakers were up 33-9 at intermission and ultimately fell to the Tigers by a final score of 50-49. Penn trailed by an even larger deficit this evening at the break. 26 points they were behind, 42-14. The Quakers have charged back within 11, 56-45, 3:58 to go in the second. Keeping it here on this final media timeout, potentially of 2009-2010. Sam, as you examine the Quaker sideline coming to life here in the second. Jack Eggleston a little bit. Zach Rosen has righted his corner. Danny Munson has been a steady presence. All three of those Quakers in double figures. Are those guys, is that the trio that's going to get you there, or does someone else have to step up?
Well, I don't know. They're the three guys that you depend upon most of your offensive scoring. They really haven't gotten much from anybody else at all, really. I don't know. Hallett may have a basket. Certainly, Belfour has 1-3. So they need help from everybody, and most of all, they need a little help from Princeton. You know, Princeton, without question, in these next 4 minutes, is going to get to the foul line. And unfortunately, Matt Radies is at the foul line. He's an 80% shooter. He's got, a 2-shot foul. So it's important for Princeton to help them and miss a few foul shots. But, hey, it's 11 points and 4 minutes to go, and stranger things have happened, and I know that everybody's at least happy that Penn has made this kind of effort in the second half. Now, the key is kind of find a way to prevent it from having the kind of effort they had in the first half.
On the line for the Princeton Tigers, a ton in terms of where the orange and black expect their program to be heading into 2010-2011. Princeton vying for its first 20-win season since 2004. 12 previous years in which Princeton has amassed 20 triumphs or more. Dan Lavratis at the line. The Tigers in front 56-45. And for Dan Lavratis, the right-handed junior, his first one falls to make it 57-45. Princeton also with a victory, which secures second place all to itself in the Ancient Eight. Second straight season, it would finish runners-up. The second one rattles out, rebound registered by Eggleston. It is still a dozen points for deficit for Penn with 3:51 left.
There's not a lot of time, but I'll trade 2-for-1 or 3-for-1.
Oh, Ellis throws it away over the head of a gliding Eggleston under the rack as Hallett winces in frustration and rubs both eyes with his index finger.
They ran a great play off the Time Mountain, and Eggleston was able to get behind his man. The pass was a little off target.
14th turnover committed by the Quakers. Now the defense needs to answer and create another opportunity on the offensive side. 3.5 minutes left. Doug Davis, who demolished Penn in the first half, somewhat silent in the second, but he really ignited Princeton with 4 first-half three-pointers. Entry toss is lobbed out of bounds by the Tigers. So, turnover swaps Sam Pavlik, and with 3:16 left, 57-45, Penn needing a bucket in the worst way here.
Did you notice, though, that Princeton ran 30 seconds off the shot clock before they committed that turnover?
Rosen, with determination, driving left side of the lane, and he draws the 17th foul against the Princeton Tigers. So, situation is this. The best free throw shooter in the Ivy League to the stripe, as this will be a process of attrition for the Quakers. Down by 12 points, 57-45, with 3 minutes and 8 seconds to play.
Now Zach Rosen gets to play a lot of minutes, as we know, because the Quakers need him to. And I think he's in great shape and has a lot of stamina as a result of the time he plays. And if you notice, at the end of games, he seems a little stronger and quicker than the people that are defending him.
The front end falls. The second is good as well. Penn makes it a 10-point game, 57-47. 3:05 left, and an offensive foul. The full court press by the Quakers induces an offensive crime committed by Dan Mavridis. As a result, Penn will have an opportunity for more points, trailing by 10, seeking now a single-digit deficit with 3:05 to go. That is a non-shooting situation. Rob Belcourt will inbound along the near right baseline. Quakers from left to right in the front court.
I'll take it. It was kind of a mystery foul called by an official on the one side of the court. I'm surprised Sidney Johnson's not crazy.
No time for analysis such as that, Sam. That was a game for the Quakers to seek the snap. Rosen, far left, has a hole, hits it, underhand the pass, deflects it back out to Belcourt, top of the arc, off the iron, no, rebound ramped up by Hummer as the intensity picks up at Princeton, and Jack Eggleston slaps Hummer on the back for a foul. That's the 10th
team foul against the Quakers, and as the clubs walk the opposite end of the floor. 2:49 remaining in regulation. 57-47 is the score. Remarkable stand that after 10, down by 26, 40-14 at the break. They have managed to resurface.
In the timeout, they definitely took Hummer as the foul shooter to foul because he's shooting a little over 50% from the line. But today, I don't know if he's missed one, has he?
He is preparing for his second, as he is a perfect 6-6 from the stripe. It's an 11-point lead again for Princeton. And there's his first miss. A little reverse whamma-jamma, as the bin man would like to say. So the Quakers have the ball from left to right. Front court, 2:40 left. Rosen gashes a gap, and he's hacked hard from behind.
And nobody can stay with Zach, and it's the guys from behind that are fouling him and picking up. The guy's trying to help those guys.
And these are quick strokes down towards the bucket by Zach Rosenstein, and subsequently not a lot of time is being expired in that situation. So Penn is trying to draw quick fouls to stop the game clock and try and get back in it from the foul line. Penn second in the conference from the free throw line. Rosen the lefty buries his first. It is back to a 10-point deficit, 58-48, with 2:38 to play in period number two. And the Quakers now attempting to pull within single digits for the first time since about 6 minutes in to the opening half. Rosen, the Ivy League's leading scorer. Ready. Releases. Good. 58-49. 2:38 to play.
Here's the pressure. Hopefully Penn can get a turnover. That would be just fantastic.
Rosen can't foul with too much aggressiveness. He has three as Princeton breaks the full court press. 2.5 minutes to go. 25 on the shot clock. Discipline could be decisive for the Princeton Tigers. And now they execute. Double team trap. Pitch off. Eggleston. Up he goes. That he throws. For the dunk. And a timeout taken immediately by Jerome Allen. Far sideline on the Penn bench. A headsy. Defensive display by Jack Eggleston translates to two critical points. The Penn Quakers make it 58-51 with 2:14 left.
Yeah, and you know what? Sidney Jackson's got Princeton playing careful basketball, and they're just not being aggressive offensively, which is going to play right into Penn's hands. That pass was just a sloppy cross-court bounce pass. Jack Eggleston had a bead on it, picked it up, and bumped it at the other end. And you know what? It's only seven. There's 2 minutes to go. One more of those, Brian, and we're going to have to get a little more excited here.
It was a late tip time tonight, pushed back to 8 o'clock. It's still an hour and 41 minutes old, but certainly worth sticking around as this rivalry pairing in its 222nd edition. The Penn Quakers aiming to avoid a sweep for the first time since 2001. The Quaker contingency getting loud. Penn's defense has shown a different positive side in the second. Here's the full court press. Tigers looking to inbound. Schroeder has it. Has McGradis in the right corner. Schroeder gets it back. He's still in the backcourt. 5 seconds off the shot clock. Davis, far right wing, through the middle to Schroeder. They break in 9 seconds. 2 minutes remaining in regulation, Penn trailing by 7, 58-51. That was the final score in favor of Princeton, the first time around back on February 16th. Schroeder swiveling through the D. Far right baseline, McGradis fouled en route to the rack. And he will head to the stripe on the season. The fifth best free throw shooter in the Ivy League with a minute 50 to go at Jadwin Gym.
Covered by McGradis. Again, had Hallett waiting for him, a 6'9 player, and had contact with him, made sure he got fouled before he took that shot.
McGradis, a right-handed junior. Oh, he lays a brick off the front end. Are the Princeton Tigers asking the Penn Quakers to hang around?
They look like the Tigers right now want this over with. You know, they want it to go away. And Penn is making it very difficult for that time.
And McGradis, a few dribbles for composure. And he sinks his second. 59-51, a minute 50 left. The ball rolls in to the backcourt. Picked up by Rosen as he treads the timeline.
in the front court. Rosen penetrates the lane. Right-handed scoop, Noah, followed by Hallett, misfires to the right. Rebound secured by the Tigers. And that is a sizable board with 90 seconds to go. Penn not fouling yet. Schroeder skips to Davis near left on the wing. Double team trap, and they force Davis over the sideline near wing. Red and blue regaining possession with a minute 25 to go, 59-51. They trail.
Hey, what would have happened if Penn scored in the last possession and had another one on that turnover?
Ooh.
Hey, it's good part. Hey, a three-point shot puts us, you know, within reach. There's time.
As you like to say, Stan, it changes the complexity of the game. Rosen, step back, left side of the lane, short off iron. Karam collected by Clay Maddox. Red and blue trying to rip it away, and finally, Penn fast. A minute 13 left in the 28th and final tilt of 2009-2010 for the Quakers. They are behind 59-51. Jack Eggleston fouls out. His campaign has come to a close. What a solid, fine, auspicious year it was for the junior out of Noblesville, Indiana. 16 points and 6 rebounds this evening, following a career-high 25 on Saturday against Dartmouth. He has been in double figures on the season in 21 of 28 games. And this time last year, Stan, kind of some questions surrounding Jack Eggleston as he finished in his final 6 outings of 08-09, shooting just 29% from the field. A far different story for the junior in his third go-round with the red and blue. But here's Kareem Maddox at the line.
He's had certainly the second most consistent season for a Penn Quaker this year, and showed the ability to rebound and score, and certainly has to be one of the people that they will be depending upon next year.
A perfect twist sent in by Kareem Maddox, 60-51, is a 9-point lead for the Tigers, and Maddox aiming to make matters more difficult for Penn and Young. As he drills his second free throw, double digits, the advantage once again for Princeton. 61-51, 70 seconds to go.
There's a lot of good coaching going on. He's another good guy to foul. He just happened to make 2 in a row.
Rosen swings to Belcourt near right corner. Does not get the bounce to bottom home. Kareem Maddox cracks down the loose ball in the near corner. 54 seconds left. Maddox is fouled by Danny Munkin, which for Danny is his fourth. And with 52 and one-tenth of a second to play in the 222nd meeting between the Penn Quakers and the Princeton Tigers, the orange and black poised to take both in the season series for the first time in 9 years, leading 61-51.
And after this fantastic comeback, it's a shame that the basket closed up a little bit in the last 2 minutes. They had some shots at bringing it even closer than it is.
Maddox no good on his first 10 to this point, trailing 61-51, but outscoring Princeton 37-21 in the second. Maddox knocks down his second, 62-51, 50 seconds to go. The Penn Quakers were down by 26 at the break. Too much to overcome, it appears. Belcourt near right, rifles home a three, 62-54, with 42 and one-tenth of a second to go, and Jerome Allen takes a timeout.
Well, you have to be encouraged. I mean, you know, you're doing this game in the first half is not like doing it in the second half, and the Quakers have showed great resilience for you coming back here, Brian, and, I mean, that's a good sign for the coaching staff. Things went on at halftime. You know, it could always go the other way. It could have got worse. It didn't. It got much, much, much better.
Stan, while the results have not been there in terms of the column that the Quakers would like them to fall in, predominantly in 2009-2010, the one observable trait that you can pull away from this program is that under Jerome Allen, they have come out and competed game in and game out and played hard. And maybe that's not fair to Glenn Miller. Who knows? But for whatever reason, the Quakers have really exerted maximum effort over the course of the games, the 21 games that Jerome Allen has presided over this program for.
Well, there's a lot into that, Brian. You know,
Glenn Miller's status was uncertain mid-season. Their record was so bad and things are going so bad, there were probably expectations that he might not be with them. Now, it's totally different now with expectations that Jerome Allen may be with them. There's a lot of these guys that, in my mind, that should be fighting to wear a Penn uniform next year, and that may have something to do with it besides, of course, Jerome's everyday motivation.
He might have delivered that message coming back from Cornell. 40 seconds to go in the second stanza. 62-54, long pass down the floor, and there's an intentional foul against Mike Howard, who wraps up Saunders, and he tried to prevent a hard call. As Saunders was ahead of the pack, he was heading towards the hoop for a jam. So some tensions, the crowd getting a little bit of life down the stretch as Mike Howard, which he did do his best to try and not have Saunders slam into the court. So there's an intentional foul called against Mike Howard. So now there are two shots on the possession for Princeton with 35 and a half seconds to go. 62-54 is the score.
And much ado about nothing. Mike Howard did everything he could to just prevent the layup and protect Saunders from falling. He did everything right. Anybody getting upset about that doesn't know much about basketball.
It is now up to the Penn Quakers to raise the level of the red and blue and restore this rivalry really to what it was then, back up until 2004, as Saunders sends in his first and he sends his second. It is now 64-54 with 35 and a half seconds left. And Princeton has possession far right baseline from right to left.
Yeah, back in the day, that foul would not have been intentional, and it would have been a great foul. When they get the ball back, it kind of defeats the purpose.
You say the kids getting coddled these days, Sam, as the Quakers commit a foul far right. And now two more shots for the Princeton Tigers, and that is the fifth personal foul against Dan Munson, the junior at 6'6", 205 from Glenview, Illinois. We'll see the rest of this 2009-2010 season from the bench. But what hope and optimism surrounding Dan Munson, who will finish with 14 and 17 tonight, 4 of 8 from the floor. Danny Munson, double figures in 10 of his last 18 games, and he has blossomed since the turn of the calendar in January.
Out of all the players besides Zach and Jack, Dan Munson is the one that probably in the coach's eyes looks like he should be a part of the transition from this record to what's going to happen with Penn in the next few years, which I know will be good.
32 4/10 of a second left, and Dan Navratis matches the free throw, 65-54.
Back to your Cottle comment, I don't think there's Cottle today, but yeah, what's the point of unless you can go for the basketball, there's no point in fouling anymore. There used to be a point in it, now there isn't any, because they get two fouls and possession, 4 points.
Navratis, the net barely moves as he makes his second. 66-54, shot clock turned off a half minute to go in 2009-10. Rosen rumbles, records 2 points on the runner. That is good. 66-56, 25 and 6/10 of a second left. And now neither player can touch the ball between Schroeder and Rosen. Inbound Maddox far side. Schroeder, Tim Avratis across the timeline near left, and now a foul by Justin Riley with 19 seconds to go in regulation, 66-56. This one all but over. Princeton will allow the Ancient Eight to achieve a feat it has never accomplished before in its existence, and that is as a conference to have three programs to boast 20 victories or more. As Princeton will improve to 28, and the Penn Quakers will finish at 6-22, the most losses in single-season program history, and also the fewest victories in single-season program history for a slate of 20 games or more. Zach Rosen and Rob Belcour relieve and receive a final round of applause in 2009-10 from the Quaker crowd on hand. Drew Godwin, a former JV player and senior, on the floor now, along with Tommy Eggleston, as the greatest tax on his second. 68-56, 18 seconds left. Drew Godwin for the red and blue across the timeline near right. to Hallett, top of the arc. 10 running it set with 10 seconds to go. Mullen to the rack over the shoulder, off the bottom of the backboard. Rebound to Princeton, 4 seconds left. That'll do it. The Penn Quakers swept by the Princeton Tigers as the horn sounds for the first time since 2001. 68-56, the final score as the Penn Quakers 2009-2010 campaign, after 28 games, will go down as the worst in program history. However, some hope upon which to build as the Red and Blue head in to the offseason.
It's a new day. I mean, you could, at the end of every season, I know how players feel. You know you're not going to put the uniform on for another year. The seniors are never going to put that uniform on again. And I really think it's a new day for Penn basketball with the Steve Bilski announcement of whomever might be the next coach. And hard recruiting. They're supposed to be a very good recruiting class. And I think Dan Menken, beginning as a player, I think things have to be better next year, Brian.
The Red and Blue will have more with which to work in 2010-2011 for sure, in addition to several key players coming back off of injury. But still, it was a trying, at times troubling, difficult 2009-2010 slate for a proud Penn program, which at various points plummeted to unprecedented levels, finishing at 6-22 overall, 5-9 in conference competition. The first time in program history that Penn has back-to-back losing league season. A lot of positives to lay the foundation for the future, but still stand on the whole, 28 games in all, this season smartest.
Well, it would have been a tough thing for any player to deal with. An ordeal would be a better word. And I was here for a large part of those games, and I think, as you said, we saw certainly a better effort and a better idea of the Penn pride that we've all grown to know over the many, many years. So it's been a tough year. I think it's been a learning year. I think that it was kind of a nice indoctrination for Jerome Allen. If he's fortunate enough to get the position, he certainly, he kind of had an internship or something like that this year. He knows what his assistants can do or not do. And, like I said, it's a new dawn. It's a new beginning. I think Penn can only go forward from this kind of situation. And truly, the alumni, you and me, and everybody else hope that that happens.
The Red and Blue down 26 at the break. We're back to outscore the Tigers by 14 in the second stanza. However, the effort not enough as the Penn Quakers conclude 2009-2010 with a 68-56 loss at Princeton. The Red and Blue Rewind, Comcast Sportsnet post-game show, proceeds next in Elgin Sports. This is 10 Men's Basketball on 950 ESPN, the Penn Sportsnet.
Sprint Turf wishes good luck to the Quaker basketball team and is a proud partner to Penn Athletics. Sprint Turf has been the University of Pennsylvania's choice in synthetic turf since 1994 when the surface was installed on the beautiful and historic Franklin Field. If your school is considering a turf field, or perhaps you have a landscaping project at home, make Sprint Turf your first call at 877-686-TURF. Visit them online at SprintTurf.com. You don't think about physical therapy until you need it. When you do, think NovaCare first. With more than 90 locations throughout the Delaware Valley, their experienced clinical team will create an individualized treatment plan that will help reduce pain and prevent re-injury while achieving each patient's specific goals. NovaCare is proud to be a sponsor of Penn Basketball here at the Plexer. For a prompt appointment, call 1-800-770-NOVA or visit them at NovaCare.com. NovaCare, recovery starts here.
Coke Zero tastes like Coke, but what good is telling you that on the radio? You're in your car and you hear me say it. You have to take my word for it. And that makes you one of those guys who believes everything he hears on the radio. Or you can not believe me, but that makes you a cynic. So you're either the guy who believes everything on the radio, or a super suspicious guy who doesn't believe anything. But there is a third option. You can try one. Then you can taste and see if what you heard on the radio is true. Unless you want to be one of those other guys. Coca-Cola Zero. Real Coke taste and zero calories.
For more than 60 years, Independence Blue Cross has offered quality health care products and services designed specifically to meet the changing health care needs of its customers. In the Philadelphia area alone, IBC provides health insurance coverage to more than 2.8 million people. For more information on Independence Blue Cross, go online to IBX.com.
950 ESPN.
950 ESPN.
WPEN Philadelphia.
The Princeton University Marching Band closing the doors to Gadwin Gymnasium on the campus of the Orange and Black for the 2009-2010 season. This evening, the Penn Quakers fell by as many as 28 with a minute 54 to go in the first half. Penn was down by 26 at the break. The Red Blue outscored the Orange and Black by 14 in the second quarter. However, not enough as Penn falls for the 22nd time, a program low.
ShopRite is proud to support Penn Football. And did you hear about the ShopRite MasterCard? You earn rewards points every time you use your ShopRite Rewards MasterCard. So every time you buy something you need, like eggs, bread, or milk, you're earning points to get something you want, like gift cards from top retailers for food, clothing, electronics, and more. You can even redeem your ShopRite MasterCard rewards for gift cards from ShopRite. That's, well, like getting free food. Visit ShopRite.com for details, and go Quakers!
Sorry for that technical difficulty, but Sam Pavlik, as we contend with the Princeton University Marching Band, if you look at the final stats, it is remarkable which team ended up with the field goals.
That's the first thing I saw, Brian, is Penn ended up with 19 for 47 shooting, and after 5 for 21, came back and shot 14 for 26 in the second half, and ended up shooting 40%, just below the Tigers' 41%. Penn had 19 field goals for the Tigers' 18, and the game and the deficit were shown at the foul line. So Princeton made twice the number of foul shots defended and shot 36 fouls.
A 47-40 advantage for the Princeton Tigers off the bench against the Penn Quakers. But Sam, the first half, three-point shooting, that really got Princeton into a groove, particularly Doug Davis. And from there, Princeton was off and running in the first as it took the Quakers. I want to say if my memory recalls correctly, 13 minutes, 57 seconds, through double figures.
It took a long time.
and
you know, to your off the bench thing, that's a little misleading because Doug Davis came off the bench tonight and had 21 points, and he's a starter all the time. So yes, Princeton's that bench is much, much stronger than Penn, but it wasn't quite as bad as 47-0.
We'll step aside real quick. Next, we will have the play of the game and player of the game with audio highlights and our final thoughts on the 2009-2010 season. From Nelligan Sports, this is 10-Man Basketball on 950 ESPN and the Penn Sports Network.
United Healthcare takes its commitment to their members in Pennsylvania seriously. That's why they take an active role in the communities they serve and promote good health every step of the way. Preventive care is covered 100% in most plans. They offer wellness programs to help their members make healthy choices, and they send out reminders for immunizations and annual physicals. After all, their mission is to help people live healthier lives. United Healthcare, a proud sponsor of Penn Athletics. Insurance coverage provided by or
through United Healthcare Insurance Company or its affiliates. Health plan coverage provided by or through United Healthcare Company.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy, what's up?
What's up, bro?
Hey, what's up, dude?
Dude.
Now you can call who you want, when you want, for a whole lot less for the new incredibly low price of $69.99. AT&T introduces unlimited calling nationwide for only $69.99. It's great for keeping in touch with your friends.
Hola. Ahoy.
Your family.
Hi, Mom. Dad.
Hello, Mother.
Even the people you work with.
Finding payroll.
Accounting.
Mailroom.
Processing.
Learning guys.
Switch to AT&T and get unlimited calling nationwide for only $69.99.
Come in now and get the new and exclusive Motorola backflip with MotoBlur for just $99.99 after mail-in rebate, only on AT&T.
Unlimited nationwide calling to over 81 million AT&T wireless customers. Pay $199.99 and receive $100 in AT&T promotion cards to your wireless service agreement with voice plan and minimum $30 monthly data plan required. Certain geographic, other monthly charges and restrictions apply. See store for details.
Quakers lost their campaign closer in 2009-2010 by a final tally of 68-56. Wrapping things up on this season, alongside Stan Pavlik, I am Brian Seltzer. Betsy Deming back at the board, the Penn Sports Network Broadcast Center. Before bringing you the Pico Play of the Game and the Smokey Joe's Player of the Game, a quick examination of the final standings in the Ivy League, and that courtesy of Comcast Sportsnet. Cornell will represent the Ancient Eight in the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship for the third consecutive campaign. Cornell 27-4 overall, 13-1 in Ivy League, sole possession of first place. Congratulations to Steve Donahue and his crew. Harvard will not get a second place share, and that is because the Princeton Tigers won tonight, and they have sole possession of second place, 11-3, their mark in conference competition, and 20-8 overall is Princeton's record, first time at 20 wins since 2004. Coming in right behind the Tigers in third, the Harvard Crimson at 10-4 in conference competition, 21-7 overall, and that means for the first time in Ivy League history, three teams with 20 victories or more. After that, the Yale Bulldogs finishing fourth at 6-8, 12-19. The Penn Quakers, Brown Bears, and Columbia Lions all 5-9, even for sixth place. The Penn Quakers, a overall record of 6-22, second worst in the league. Brown at 11-20, Columbia at 11-17. And dwelling in the cellar of the Ancient Eight in 2010, it's going to be Dartmouth, 1-13 for the Big Green, 5-23 overall. And like the Penn Quakers, Dartmouth Big Green has a head coaching question to answer with the outset of the offseason. And that is the final look at the Ivy League men's basketball standings. Cornell at the top, Princeton in second, Harvard in third, Yale fourth, Penn Brown Columbia sixth, and Dartmouth in eighth. And that look is brought to you by Comcast Sportsnet. Nobody does Philly College Hoops better. Nobody. And that brings us now to our Pico Play of the Game. Pico with you every step of the way, a longtime proud partner and supporter. Penn Athletics. And Penn was in a funk in the first half for sure. The Quakers shot just 5 of 21 from the field. But the defense started up in the second half, and it was defense setting the tone for offense that allowed Jack Eggleston to contribute the Pico Play of the Game. Jack Eggleston, the Pico Play of the Game. Eggleston, far left, locks in on a key three. 53-40, Penn within 13. 6:56 to play. So defense leading to offensive points. Jack Eggleston also had a very fine dunk in this game that he created off of a steal, which finished a very close second for the Pico Play of the Game. Well, maybe that was a tease. Maybe not. I misspoke. So, this is not ending. Well, why not? Here it is. The true Pico Play of the Game, the Eggleston Jam. The red and blue running ahead of the pack. Jack Eggleston forces it with an authoritative left-handed throwdown. 51-32 with 10:15 left in the second. It has been a long season for all of us here at the Penn Sports Network, including our outstanding board op, Betsy Deming, who juggles multiple jobs. So, you know, you got two audio highlights, of course. One, the next jam was the Pico Play of the Game, brought to you by Pico, longtime proud partner and supporter of Penn Athletics. Smokey Goes, Player of the Game, time for the last time in 2009-2010. Stan Pavlik, three double-digit scores for Penn. Who is it going to be?
Well, it's tough to choose today, but I'm going to go a little bit with what's going on all season and the way our Smokey Joe's Player of the Game played in the second half. Zach Rosen was the offensive thrust behind the comeback with at one point in the first half, and he came back and had 17 points in the second half. Went to the basket many times very efficiently to get fast shots, and I think he was responsible for creating most of the offense in the second half, and he is my Smokey Joe's Player of the Game.
Zach Rosen, one of his big buckets to spark the scoring in the second half. He really got things going as the red and blue, they lit out to a run of 9 straight to start the second half, courtesy of this connection from Zach Rosen. Rosen from the near right corner connects on a quick release off the inbounds for 3, 40-17, so the second half starting on a positive production on that possession for Penn. And that would lead to a 9-0 run that set the tone for the Quakes starting the second half, but ultimately Penn loses 68-56, goes into the offseason, worst record in program history, 6-22, 5-9 in the league, but perhaps the program that beat them tonight and swept them for the first time since 2001, Stan, they can provide the model for what Penn can look to get back to. Princeton, a 13-win change from 2 years ago when they were 6-23 to right now. So perhaps Penn can head in that positive direction. Stan Pavlik, first of all, with just a kind of chaotic turn midseason on Monday, December 14th, who would have thought that the Vinman Vince Kern would have been tapped for the volunteer assistant coaching position and as a result left open the color commentary position at the Penn Sports Network for men's basketball? He was not only your successor but predecessor, but you have filled in. It has been terrific and a lot of fun doing these games with you despite the outcome. So thanks so much on short notice for coming in and doing this responsibility again as you did so well back in the 90s.
Brian, it's been my pleasure. I'm at your beck and call, regardless of what happens with this card, and I hope I'm back here next year to at least get a chance to see improvement. There's a lot of injured guys coming back. Hopefully they'll be healthy, a good recruiting class. It'll be fun to see who becomes the head coach, and it'll be fun maybe to get a chance to work with you again next year.
We very much welcome that opportunity and looking forward to it. In addition to the first Penn Quaker inducted into the Big Five Hall of Fame, Stan Pavlik, several other thank yous to mention as we wrap things up on the final edition of the Red and Blue Rewind Comcast Sportsnet postgame show. And yes, I'm long-winded on a somewhat regular basis, but bear with me one last time. First and foremost to the program, again, regardless of the record this season, it might not have been pretty at times for Penn, but always a privilege to be along for the ride, whatever it may be. So a thanks to Glenn Miller when he was with us, and Jerome Allen as well, the staff of John Gallagher, Mike Martin, and the Vin Man, Vince Kern, and the kids on the staff. All of them great, and hopefully they can build upon this going forward. Penn's administration, the help of Steve Bilski, Alana Lynn Shanahan, and Mary DeStanislau, getting these games on air. Penn Athletics Development for hooking us up on some trips. The athletics communications staff led by the outstanding Mike Mahoney, who also doubled as color commentator extraordinaire for the trips that Stan Pavlik could not make. In addition to that, our team at 88.5 XPN, Roger LeMay, Bruce Warren, and Bob Bambera on the games that aired on that station. And at the WPEM family, Jake McCann, Matt Mahagian, Joe DeCamera, Rhonda Hibbler, Sabrina Toasty, Cheryl Ritchie, and absolutely no question about it, Betsy Deming giving up Friday and Saturday nights in the dead of winter, stacking up at One Valley Plaza, Suite 339, to enable us to get these games on the air. So Betsy, tremendous job as always, and thank you very much. And of course, the final thank you and appreciative nod goes to the Penn fans, and that is what makes the red and blue relevant and special within the Ivy League Conference among its peers is that the fans show up. And maybe attendance wasn't what it was this year in terms of years past, but still exceeds that of others in the conference. So with that, a huge thank you from the program to the fans for hanging in and exhibiting some patience in what was at times a difficult, more often than not, 2009-2010 campaign. So, with the most losses in program history, with the fewest wins in program history, and uncertainty surrounding the head coaching position, that is the context for the Penn Quakers heading into the 2010 offseason. No question, this program sits at a crossroads. Where it goes from here, that remains to be seen, but stay tuned in recent weeks. An announcement most likely forthcoming. This broadcast has been authorized under rights grant by the University of Pennsylvania's Division of Recreation and Intercollegiate Athletics Department to Nelligan Sports Marketing. The accounts and descriptions of this broadcast may not be retransmitted in any form without the express written consent of Nelligan Sports Marketing. The executive producer of Penn Men's Basketball and the Penn Sports Network is Michael Felici. The coordinating producer is Diana LaPore. Studio coordinator, as always, Betsy Dunham. And now for my partner, Big Five Hall of Famer Sam Pavlik, this is Brian Seltzer saying so long from Jadwin Gymnasium at Princeton. For the Penn Quakers lose their finale by a final score of 68-56. Have a great rest of your night. Have a great offseason from all of us here at the Penn Sports Network.
2009-2010, Penn Men's Basketball on the Penn Sports Network has been brought to you in part by Holiday Inn. Look again at Holiday Inn Historic District for your step in Philadelphia. Independence Food Trust, we're here for you every step of the way. And Coca-Cola Zero, real Coke taste, zero calories. For extended coverage of the preceding game, log on to the brand new PennAthletics.com.
That ends our coverage of Penn's men's basketball. We now join Into the Night with Tony Bruno, already in progress. You're listening to 950 ESPN.
The home of the World Series, NFL playoffs, and the Super Bowl. Philadelphia.
The greater media radio stations are excited to share with you a way that you can be a part of impacting the health and well-being of many children. On Tuesday, March 9th, CBS 3 and CBS